Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 106.
Come 105.
105.
We had
this debate last time, but 105, 104. Should be 105 here.
Hey, it's 10X.
Yeah, exactly.
We do this a long time. We still can't figure out what fucking episode we're on every time.
Nobody cares.
This is a episode of If Lands Could Kill. Coming at you late Friday night. Thursday?
Yeah, 11, I don't
even. Still Thursday. 11:15 p.m.
I don't know. Things or times or places. Who are you guys? Get out of my house. So, gentlemen, like we do every week, we're going to talk about our exciting, very exciting, high thriller, large impact, big cojones weeks. I personally did nothing all week. What about you guys? How's your week been?
My week, I decided to, my brother, you guys talked last week about how, you know, like, oh, you were 77th in the world in that one song, Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it's just my, what I got to brag about, dude. I don't have anything to brag about, so that's like, that's the thing. And there's still 76 people that are better than me.
So from there, I didn't chime in because I know my brother, he plays NHL 17 a lot. He's a big hockey fan. And so I knew he had told me he had some like high ranking, but I couldn't remember what the number was, so I didn't throw it out there. So I went home.
Dude, no, wait, hold on. Let me stop you. This is bullshit. Your week's about someone else's week?
No, no.
Bullshit.
No, no. Well,
I'm just kidding.
Dude, that would be great. I don't have anything to talk about. I'm just going to go look up somebody else's week. What did Brad Pitt do this week?
Then you go through the whole week explaining everything that he did, but don't say anything about Brad Pitt, and at the end of it be like, yeah, that was all Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone would be like super excited for you, like, oh my God, are you really doing, is he lying? Is he doing all that stuff?
Fuck Jennifer Aniston in the ass is great.
That was a long time ago, bud.
But, dude.
Not up here. Not up here, buddy.
Who cares? If it happened once, dude, that's just it forever. It happened.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I would. I would. She's amazing.
Dude, she's like still.
God damn, she's still
pretty fucking hot.
Oh, man. She's so good, dude. You know, you have those issues of like, oh, people are too skinny or this and that, you know? And she just doesn't fall in that category for me. She's just got it all.
You know, I don't know why I'm looking at Brad Pitt. We're looking at Jennifer
Aniston.
Anesthes.
Topless.
Yeah. All right. So NBA 2002.
NHL 17 hockey.
Yeah.
So I asked him about it, and he's telling me that there's a mode in there where you can play an individual position. And you play on a whole team, so there's a six positions. So somebody's a goalie, somebody's a right winger, center, all that kind of jazz. Overall in the world, he's 98th in the world in overall positions. And then you break it down to wingers, he's like 32nd in the world. And then there's also, he's like a sniper, a hitting sniper, he's third in the world. It's like...
Is sniper like long shot, or what does that mean?
Sniper means you're fucking a goal scorer, you know, a sniper and shooting the net.
So Jesus Christ. Yeah, that feels pretty
good. He's third
in
the fucking world and in the sniper position.
That's crazy.
It's insane. So I was
How
like,
How much money
are
you making from it?
Nothing.
Okay.
But
damn, that's a bummer.
I thought it was
pretty
cool.
You should probably think about joining like a fucking team. League or
Honestly.
Something, bro.
Does he have kids and shit?
No.
Okay, then, yeah, he totally gave up on his life and just go to esports. Go to South Korea.
He doesn't even have a girlfriend anymore.
I'm not going to make the fucking comment now.
I didn't even recognize
him. I only have one brother, and he's the only lost to bees.
I just didn't even... Fucking bees, man.
Yeah.
World's number one killer to women that are not married and date. Like people from San Diego.
So anyways, I decided, because, you know, I'm still trying to help him get through all that shit, and I like hockey too, so there was a sale for EA this weekend on Xbox, and I bought NHL 17 and playing a bunch of that, so it's pretty fun. Still playing through Shadows of Mordor, still fucking extremely excited for Shadows of War to come out. Also went, right now the World Baseball Classic is going on. You guys probably have no idea what that is, but it's, you know, teams from around the world, it's like, you know, baseball tournament.
Right, it's like the Olympics
world
of baseball.
Baseball World Cup kind of thing.
It's the Olympics of baseball.
Yeah. So, my dad and I went in like 2006 to the finals, where Japan versus somebody, and Japan won. And at Petco Park.
Where was that?
Petco Park.
Oh, was that? Oh, then that's amazing.
Yeah, so that was really awesome. We didn't go to the 2009 one, but this year, USA is actually playing at Petco. So we went and saw USA versus Venezuela and with my couple of my cousins. And it was a fucking great time.
I mean,
really,
I would have probably gone something like that. It's kind of a crazy experience, yeah.
Yeah, we're going again Saturday, actually, as well. So they're playing Dominican Republic. So.
Interesting.
And at that point, they'll have a chance to push. Because right now, it's round-robin pool play. So that they have a game on Friday and then a game Saturday. And they have a chance to, you know, get out of the pool and continue on. So it was just a lot of fun.
So you get that tour at Petco Park we were talking about, right?
That, yeah, I did that a few years ago now.
The Lexus one, though?
Yeah.
I just agree. Like, that's so gnarly.
pretty so fucking much crazy cool stuff there. Yeah.
That's all. It's just, it just blew my mind that like when you just
so the Lexus Lounge you're talking about, you can literally like is in the game during the game times, like when guys are getting ready to pinch hit or whatever, they go to the batting cage in the clubhouse.
No, I talked about it. Yeah, you can watch them.
So you can literally sit down, be eating dinner or having drinks at the bar before the game or during the game and watch players hit batting practice.
It's crazy, dude. Like it's when like, you have money, your life is different. It's not like there's just some things the world is you don't see. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what so they experience.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool seeing all that for crazy. That tour. So yeah, that's pretty much mostly my week. I've been playing a lot of NHL 17, Shadows of Mordor.
It's good though, you're playing some fucking, we're all back in it, video games.
Yes, I'm full on back, good, I had, dude. I talked about this before, I had a little bit of a hiatus for console games. And like, yeah, I didn't have a reason for it or what the deal was, but I've just been out of it for a bit. And now I'm like full bore back into it, playing it too much probably.
It's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing.
Good things you can do without having a job.
Corey, niece. Man.
So yeah, I mean, it's not like nothing much to talk about, but at the same time, not a whole lot of things are gonna happen. We don't have a job, right. You're just at home, and whatnot. So yeah, it was a good week. So, and then today we'll get into it, but our shop we go to, which will remain unnamed for their own sake, we're able to get our Modern Masters 717 cards a day early, and I enjoyed them.
Let's just talk about preview. It. Screw it.
Go
get
for it.
Get it out there.
All right, so I went down there. So first off, we're all getting ready to come over here to cast, and Hot Sauce hits us up. I'm just getting in my car, and he goes, "Hey, I'm gonna be a couple minutes later, but I'm gonna stop and get food. Anybody want food?" And so I said, "Yeah." And then a minute later, he chimes back in with a text for. He's like, "I'm thinking about Emma's, which is a Mexican food place next to where the shop we go to. It's just in the same parking lot." And I'm like, "Okay, perfect." So he's saying he's going to Emma's. I'm just gonna tell him I'm a California burrito. And then I'm going to go down there, and this is the end of my head. I'm already laughing and I'm on the car ride. So I know I'm going to go down there, go to the car shop.
Yeah, my head's already exploding.
Well, I'm laughing at you because it was just I knew what was going to happen. So go to the car shop, start buying my cards, hang out for a couple minutes, talking to the shop owners. And sure enough, here comes Hot Sauce walking the door behind me. Like, what the fuck? You're already down here. Why am I ordering you food? It was just great. I loved it.
I order the food. I walk out, and I see his stupid car, and I'm like... Don't tell me that's him at the card shop right next to where I just ordered this food, and I'm paying for it. And I'm like, what? Who is this guy? Dude? And then I walk in the card shop, and even though the people are there, like the owners or whatever, I go in there and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, really loud. You know, I'm like, come on, man, are you serious? And then I'm like, well, just give me the money now. Just give me the money now. He's like, yeah, cool. And they gave me $3. I'm like, oh my god,
half the price of the burrito.
Swear to God, dude. Yeah. So your pulls.
I bought a box and 5 additional packs. So we had a little thing we talked about in the cast last time for the top cards you want to pull. And they already have the place at Liliana, so my top 3 were Fetches, Snapcaster, and Cavern of Souls. Well, my luck continued, and I got in the 29 packs I opened, I got 4 Fetches. There's 2 Mystery Reinforced, some Marsh Flats, and an Arid Mesa. And then I pulled Snapcaster, which was awesome. And then my last pack of my box, which... For me, every time I open a box, my last pack is always some 10-cent garbage rare. It's like never. It's always like disappointing end. Well, last card this time was Cavern of Souls.
Sweet pulls.
Fucking stoked.
Feels good. Feels good.
You know, I got some of the good ones. I got Foil Serum Visions, Foil Inquisition of Kozilek, Foil Sphinx of Revelation. I made the money back in the box and got every card in my top 3 list of what I wanted to pull. So it felt pretty good.
You didn't open a playset of each. You should have.
Well, of course.
You had real luck. You would open like 12 mythics in, you know, the one box.
That's, okay, let's hear about your box.
What about my box? What about I'll talk about?
Okay, your box is better than your Eternal Masters boxes. I'll say that at least.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't disappointing.
Two forces.
Like last time.
What up?
But
yeah. So
I was very happy with my box overall. Once again, my pulling luck, which you guys know about at this point, has continued.
It's very good. So when I went there. They gave me, what is it called, the little pack?
Buy a box promo pack, which is the same packs they give you when Wizards about 2 months ago now did the standard showdown weekends for 4 weekends in a row. It's a little pack that has it's a foil, which could be anything from like a foil from anything in the set, anything from Battle for Zendikar Ford. It could be a foil of that, and then
like
2 additional rares.
Stupid stipulations like... But yeah, basically it's that. But and I remember there being like, well, it could be anything except for this and this.
Yeah.
Or like two-face like cards
Right, yeah. Right. So there's a couple like ones that are not in there. But then one in every 36 packs of these are masterpieces. And I've had, you know, a couple of these open now. I haven't pulled a masterpiece yet, so that's unfortunate. But I keep getting, like, man land. So it's like, it's always like a sweet little extra bonus. It's, you know, it's nothing to complain about. It's free cards.
Yeah. And then they told me that. I'm like, oh, what is this? Oh, it's this? Okay. And then I'm like, and then the shop owner was like, yeah, like one in 36 packs or whatever you get in masterpiece. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I come home and then I open a masterpiece and I'm like, okay, I guess that's just, I didn't even know these things had this and I had no idea what it was. And it was, a masterpiece chrome mock. So I'm like, dope, $42, sweet, you know? And I don't know where I want to play it because it's like one of, I don't play a lot of modern. I'm thinking maybe for tiny leaders.
It's one of those cards you look at and go like, "You obviously this is powerful, but it's like it's a little weird to almost want to play."
Yeah, like what? But I'm wondering like what plays it. I don't really want to sell it, but I mean, I'm kind of just like, where do I put it? You know what I mean?
So, the only time I played it is a few months ago for Eternal Masters. I played it in the
pre-release
beta.
Or whatever.
I played it in the beta. Oh, the beta. So yeah, okay. I don't actually own the card, but I played it on there, and I was like, okay, well. And a couple times I got it like opening hand, so it was very good.
Yeah,
but it is a card you look at and go, I have to discard a card off the exile card to this thing off the bat. It's just, it's a little bit off. You don't have the strategy.
It seems
for
like
it.
You need the right strategy for it, and like I don't know what my strategy I'm going for. So I guess it's not even modern legal, right? No, it's not even modern legal.
It's in modern. No,
no, it's not modern legal. Anyways, I'm thinking about what it's even for. I guess just legacy vintage bullshit. Anywho, yeah, I opened a box. I got a box also from him. I wasn't planning on to. I was planning on buying like six packs, and then he had a decent price, like same thing as TCG player. I'm like, that's fine then. So well, I got
I think
that.
It's the only mox that is legal, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's legal.
You
mox.
Tell me.
It might be banned, my
is
good
it?
Sir.
Okay, it's okay. Banned then.
Okay.
It's so, the other.
What is the other one?
I don't what? Know. The one they play mean, in
like mox opal?
The artifact. Mox one. Opal.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. That's what it is. Okay.
Anywho's, I opened up three fetch lands. I opened up. Domri Raid. I mean, like, what up?
Yeah, I'll give you that. There's that $3 right
past
there.
Past in Flames, what up? And then I opened
that was first
up.
First pack, your first
yeah,
movie
was like,
Past in Flames.
Come on, guys. And then I opened up.
My first pack was Grizzlebrand.
Yeah, well, that's not that good.
I know, but I mean, like, it was funny that both our first packs were mythics.
Yeah.
And I'll take the Grizzlebrand over Past in Flames.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I already have the Place of Past in Flames because I had that Waste Not Storm deck, but. And I've been wanting a Grizzlebrand for some time now. But then realizing I'm not going to play the modern deck that it's in. It's Bandit Commander, so it's like there's no point in me buying it, but I'm happy to buy it.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I opened that and a couple other things. You know, I did open some money. I opened up, obviously, that masterpiece, and I opened up some foils, like Foil Xur and Foil Spell Pierce and Foil Terminate and, you know, like I said, like the fetches and stuff. Restoration Angel. Anyways, all the basic stuff, but I didn't hit any of the top six as far as, like, price-wise. You know, money
two.
Cards, I didn't – yeah, I hit two of the six. I didn't hit any of them. But yeah, it was fine. I still had a good time, and I added up my box, and box is worth about, I think I said like 208 or 206 or something like that, as far as just like face value, no shipping fees or whatever, you know? So I'm like, yeah.
You got three fetches, you got like two Arid Maces and Misty Rainforest.
Misty Rainforest, yeah. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, that's it for that, I think, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll talk to Knife City over here.
What's up?
Can I have your full attention?
Oh, yes. What's up?
Magic, what is it? Ninjas of the Deep Power.
Ninjas of
finally,
the Deep
finally
Power.
Got around to listening to it.
Oh, okay.
I don't care enough.
To it. I was playing against you on Modo while I was listening to it. I'm like, I'm going to save it. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as like ridiculous as I thought it would be. It sounded more just like it sounded like Magic and Hash with less editing. But it did. The only thing is they did drop some words that you know.
Oh, my God. That was fucking hilarious.
The NFs. So, a bunch of NFs.
So that's the whole reason we hate those fuckers is I went on this, you know, this, if you can call it a podcast.
Don't call it a podcast.
It's not even.
It's media that shouldn't be found.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you try even to listen to it then?
To see how horrible it is. And so that's why we hate these fuckers from Magic and Hash, because it was just like the worst experience of my life. And I've been raped by clowns before, you know what I mean? So it was just really disappointing.
Well, okay, well, I like what you don't like, I feel like, because okay. I like
you like the getting clown raped by clowns?
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, it was good.
It was like funny. I don't know. I wasn't like screaming, laughing, you know.
I talked about having sex with a girlfriend.
That was kind of mild, though. I thought it was, when you said it, I was like, oh, I'm waiting for it. And then I was like, it's fine. It's kind of like.
No.
It was kind of like, I was like playful. It was like PG-13.
Exactly.
I was expecting some like real stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm
and then you had the opportunity to talk about my dick, and then you didn't even talk about it hardly. You just made fun of like fictional stuff. I was like, oh, man, he could totally roast me right now.
Well, you know.
I was waiting. I was prepared for the worst, basically.
I think he might be a little obsessed with you and your penis, so.
Him?
Yeah.
Sauce? Oh, my penis?
No, no, no. They're the those guys over there are obsessed with hot sauce. But I did.
What is that all
about? I don't know.
They didn't mention me a lot for some reason. I don't know why.
You are hot sauce. I mean,
no, it was funny. Spicy. He's like, they were being so weird. They're like, so what's up with his dick? Is it pretty big or what? He seems like he's packing. I'm like, what is this conversation? What's up with his girlfriend? She's fucking hot or what? I'm like, what is going on right now? These guys are creepers, dude. They're just being weird for sure. But I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, so, you know, just to reiterate, Magic and Hash is a episode. Horrible podcast. Ninjas of the Deep Hour doesn't even qualify as a podcast, so it's just...
And that's like, it's the same people or something, right? It's an offshoot?
It's like two of the dudes from Magic and Hash.
Dude, why even just... This is already too much airtime for
that. I mean, it's like a bad Magic card anyway, so why even...
Exactly, why, dude.
It's like, exactly. Hey, let's fucking name our podcast like... Basic Planes or something.
Charging
like,
Badger.
Charging Badger.
Well, Charging Badger is way better than Ninjas of Deep Hour. Anyways, man. Those guys are hot garbage.
Yeah, that'll sum that up. Yeah, I thought that was... I listened to it, I'm like, it's kind of funny. I'm going to join myself.
She just named it Garbage Fire.
Yeah.
What were you playing on Moto? Were you playing...
We were just playing Frontier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was playing the ramp deck or whatever, okay, you know, gotcha, just for funsies. Gotcha. Let's see here. Just simple video game stuff, because I've been like kind of busy. Which I'll get to that, but I was playing Halo Wars 2. Halo Wars 2, like, dude, I knew this wasn't the case, but I just didn't have any proof. When you buy a game on disc, you don't get to play anywhere Microsoft bonus, you know, where you don't get to have it on your PC and your console, even though the game's allowed to. You have to buy it digitally so that it, like, you know, recognizes your... username associated with the game purchase so that you can now play it on both. So I borrowed the game from somebody on disc and I'm playing it on the computer, or I'm sorry, I played it on the Xbox, and I'm like, man, this game is like, it's got so many good things about it, but I'm still frustrated that it's not mouse and keyboard, because like, right, it's an RTS and I just want like that. And I'm like, man, okay, let me go look at this Play Anywhere thing and see if like I can just convince my buddy to like, I can use the account or whatever, his account or whatever, to play on the PC, because he's never going to.
Right.
And then he can have that, and then I can just give the game back. And it just says that it can't. I'm like, I know it couldn't, because then there's no way to, like, tell. You could just give the game to anybody, and then everybody has the copy or something like that. But I was just wondering if there's some way to do it. You know, you just lock it down, and there's... Well, there isn't, you know.
Actually, there is. You just buy it on Steam, and then you got it on PC.
Yeah. If you just buy it digitally on Xbox One, you get it PC also. You buy it on PC, you get it digitally Xbox One. But like, I was like, oh my god, it's so stupid. They don't have it on Steam though. Halo Wars,
they don't.
That's a Microsoft product, so they'll never give that shit up. That's crazy talk. Halo shit is not on.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, don't even know.
I'm pretty sure I bought the other fucking little Halo game.
Maybe the older ones were. Yeah.
You don't know everything.
Yeah. Besides that. Game's fine. I mean, like, I'm enjoying myself. I haven't played, like, a whole lot of it. And I don't know. It's just, I don't like being able to, like, I don't like the groupings. You have to, it's two buttons to, like, select groups. You have to, like, hold the right trigger down and then select the D-pad. I really wish it was just, like, the D-pad. I know there's, like, there's way too many controls for an RTS just for a gamepad. So they're trying to make it work. And I'm like, but I want to, like, you have to be fast. Like, I got to move my people fast because there's, like, combat. It's real time, you know, so I have to, like, move it all over. And I was having a hard time. And so I was – it's maybe because, you know, I'm not very good, which is totally true. But it's also, like, it's the mouse and keyboard thing. Hitting 1, 2, 3 to select your groups, moving the mouse, and I'd be able to scroll across the map as fast as possible. Like, all that stuff does make a difference, you know.
When I played the demo before it came out, I was just – I could not get past the control setup on the Xbox. Like, I mean, I get that some people learned how to play RTS.
And they did the best job. Like, they're the best at it.
Like, it's going to be better on the PC for all the keys, the hotkeys you can whatever input. But it's really not that difficult. It's up on the D-pad, select everybody. Down the D-pad is to unselect.
You have to hold down.
And then it's left trigger, and then you can assign 4 different squadrons on the D-pad.
Yeah, I get that.
And so it's not
that. I want it to be faster than that. Like, it's like I said, it's real time. If it was like XCOM type stuff, then it's like, yeah, no problem. I can just move along freely. But I'm, like, stressed out, and I'm making wrong, poor decisions, and I'm spending too much time selecting the wrong groups and stuff
under
like that.
Pressure.
I was having a bad time. But it's still a good game, and I'm still going to finish it. But I have, you know, that complaint is obvious. Complaint is obvious, right? This is like, this is what it is. They tried to do what they could, and they're doing it the best, but the best is still not, it's not meant to be played.
Yeah, it's just
like Diablo on console, like, would just be playable, but it's not playable.
I'm just going to say, it's trying to, like, move, like, a MMO onto console, like, the whole Neverwinter game. Like, they did, like, a very decent job at moving it to the console, but still, like, MMORPGs are a keyboard and mouse type of game.
Like, I want to give it a super high score because it's, what we said, the best of what it is, but it still is limited just because of what it is, you know, because of the console, so.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that it's a bad game, because it's not. And I'm going to play through it, and then I'll give you the official review, possibly in a week or so. Besides that, I went to, like, a dinner in downtown. I don't think I've talked about it last time, but I went to this restaurant called Park. And it's got a Q for the K.
Yeah, we went over it last time.
You know, so I was like, oh my God, this fucking stupid place.
that picture, yeah, you're going to get to it, I'm sure. But like, you put that picture of like, I don't know why my friend has this, but I can't stop laughing.
Oh yeah, that was stupid. that's good. Dumb. Just look on Twitter if you got an account, you'll see my thing. There's like a picture of like this little tiny hands that you put on your finger. And so like little 1-inch, like, they look exactly like a human hand. They're not like, you know, cartoony or like, out of shape, whatever. And then inside that hand, there's a little baby that's even smaller than the hand, like a little infant. And I'm like, what is this? What? And I just taking pictures. I'll show you after the cast. I'm like, and she just pulled, this girl pulled out of her purse and had like she had play sets. And I'm like, so she's passing them around and showing people. I'm like, what? Who asked for these? Like, what the fuck is this? It's creepy.
I thought it was like, one guy had one of them. She had a bunch. That's really that's just,
dude. It was
that goes from like, I was funny and weird to
I was laughing.
You're kind of creepy.
I was laughing a lot, but I didn't know what I was laughing about.
Babies,
you know?
Everywhere.
Was it Kellogg's? What is it? No, Nutri-Grain. Nutri-Grain. Anyways, good commercial from like 10 years ago. Nutri-Grain commercial. It's probably the funniest commercial I've ever seen in my life.
I still laugh when every like 5 years I'll watch it and just like laugh.
You got to look it up. Nutri-Grain commercials on YouTube. It's funniest commercial you ever seen. So after the dinner, like we were, you know, partying it up, whatever. And I got like an Uber back to my buddy's house, and we got in this argument, like a stupid, like you're drunk argument, where it goes down to like space and like theories and like science and like weird, stupid crap, you know, and weird movie discussions and like, I don't even know. It gets like so totally weird.
Drunken ramblings.
We were arguing about, I'm seeing maybe like your basic thoughts without going too far into it, about like, we got to science stuff. We got deeper and deeper, and we got to this part about like that there are laws and like what we have facts in like science and math and all that stuff like that. But my argument about it was that like all those things can be changed, even though it's like a fact. Given enough time, given like what we don't know today that we think we know,
right?
Eventually, even though it's a fact or the theory has been proven 10 times over, there's the possibility after who the hell knows what happens that it could be changed. And he was like super stubborn about it. And he's like, dude, if it's a fact, that's because it's been proven. I'm like, yeah, based on like today, 2017, but like there's a time when like maybe gravity like even goes away. Like, I mean, that doesn't make sense, but like that's because we're not there yet. We don't know. And I said about like real basic, like the world is flat, now world is round.
Okay, like, I was gonna say the same thing. It's the dumbest
argument.
But it's like the baseline of like an obvious, like you don't, how are you not seeing this?
Yeah. And it was just like that. I was like, that's a very basic one. It's kind of a dumb one too, but like just that's it. Like, it's just that you believe what you're told, right? And like all that stuff. And then like eventually things can totally change. It just sounds weird. It sounds impossible today.
Like, is he... who is it, by the way?
Brian.
Okay. So has he ever taken, like, a basic, like, science class? Yes.
Dude, and his girlfriend is, like, she's, like, a...
Christian?
No. She's super Christian.
I was wondering if this person's an uber Christian or something. No.
She's on my side the whole time.
Yeah.
And she's, like, she works for a movie studio. She's, like, a director. Like, yeah. She's pretty big time as far as, like...
What about the body?
She's a big... Dude, don't even... Don't...
I already know.
You know,
already
you know it's Brian. Like, please. This guy's like...
We've discussed her on the cast before, actually.
I bet. It's crazy. But anyways...
is this the one you were falling around for that when you went to the... what's the 80s band?
No, that girl. No, that's...
Okay, totally.
I don't even know that girl.
He's like... You know, just like... jawline, you know, just like handsome dude.
If you were best friends with Hugh Jackman, is basically what it is. Like, it's Hugh Jackman, but maybe better looking. Like, it's impossible.
But it's like you get pussy just being friends with them.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
like the splash zone. I've talked about it.
I swear to God, I've had girls approach me to ask me about him at a bar. Like they'd be like, hey, and I'd be like, hey, what's up? And they'd be like, can you tell me about your friend? I'm like, whoa, this you are crossing lines, Missy. Like, this is a what about my dick?
Yeah.
like you do not do this. This is like disrespectful.
The secret turned my pants.
So anyways. I'm the test runner. You gotta go through me first.
So I'm glad you guys
let's go to the bathroom, blow me, and I'll let them know about
I'm
you.
I'm glad you guys are on the same page. It just got in this weird drunk argument and he was just like so adamant, and me and the girlfriend are like on one side of the kitchen and he's on the other side, and we're both looking at each other, me and the girl, and we're just like, why is he not getting this? Why does he understand that, like, it's just a possibility? I'm not even saying I agree that's just going to change. I'm just saying that's a fucking... We just don't know everything. And even if we do, time goes on and then we learn something new. It's, like, so funny. It's so easy.
And then even then, nothing's 100% because there's anomalies just all over the place, just random.
There's always things that break the
like,
rules.
Look at, like, genetic mutations and, like, just all that stuff to, like, you know, one in every million people has two penises. We've talked about the guy with two dicks.
Yeah.
And they're two big dicks. Like, what a fucking selfish bastard.
Share some. Give me half one of yours.
God, look that up.
You know
look
one of them doesn't work, so just give me that little bit of that meat, you know?
Look, there's pictures. The guy posted, like, on Twitter. Dude,
when the internet started, that was, like, the number one
That
thing.
Guy has two big cocks.
Anyways.
Selfish.
Funny argument.
The left one bigger than the right, but they're still both big.
No, they're both pretty big. So, yeah, nothing.
And sometimes two penis man dicks are big. I don't know.
Sometimes.
But sometimes you can put it in the pink and the stink.
Yeah, nothing's ever 100%.
But they're not one on top of the other, I think.
No, they're side by side.
That means he has to lay sideways.
Yeah, sideways. I mean, I guess that's fine. I don't know. I think the curve's like doing the wrong thing. Then you're just hitting sidewall, and you don't want that.
Yeah. Nobody
you're
wants
to, you're trying to go upward slope, dude. You're trying to go higher, you know?
But, every
upward slope.
Nothing's 100%. Everything's... there's things that are approaching 100%, but they're never definite 100%. That's why I like science, because they're like... this is the best theory we have today. And it's not, there's a difference between theory and hypothesis. So,
dude,
just
scientists,
people out there, they're like, well, that's just a hypothesis. No, you're a fucking idiot and you should read the dictionary.
Dude, like, it's
I'm just happy you can say that word.
I almost fucked it up.
I know you did. It's like the impossible has been done thousands of times. Like, it's been proven over and over again every other day, basically. Things that have been seemed impossible are now possible and whatever. Anyways, we can go the whole day about this. I just wanted to make sure, because it was like, we were arguing for like 2 hours, probably.
Jesus Christ.
It was like, to the sun rose. Swear to God, I went home when the sun was up. I'm like, I'm out of here. I was like, I'm out of here. I was mad at him. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm not talking to you about this anymore. You're like being way too stubborn. And I'm just trying to say that it's a maybe, and you're saying it's a no. You know, so anyways. Besides that, okay, so there's a picture that I will show you guys that is pretty funny for us, especially. I got sent this picture from a friend of mine. There's a bar somewhere that has, you want to look at it? I don't know where he took it somewhere in San Diego. And it's a gay bar, obviously, because it has a poster in the front that says Bear Night. First Saturday of every month, and it has pictures of five hairy big men on the...
Dude.
Let's go.
And it's sponsored by Svedka Vodka.
We could...
Svedka.
Rake it in.
Easily the three of us could be on that poster.
When he sent it to me, what does he say? He said, if I was really savvy, I'd Photoshop your face into all those guys. pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
You know,
that's good. That's
I never
good.
Thought of it before, but like... I don't know why I never went to a gay bar just to get hit on and like get like, not that I'm like good looking, but I'm like, you know, a bear, you know, that's good enough to be a bear.
I told you before, if you had a six pack, they wouldn't be into you. Come on.
When I was younger, I took swing dancing classes with this girl. And then as I turned 21, I started going to my local dive bar, which is mostly old cougars and whatnot. And just because it was down the street, I used to freaking go in there all the time. And there's this group of like four women. And it came like this funny little thing where it was like a rotation every week. I'd go in there on the weekend. I'd go there all week long. Then on the weekend, this group of four women would come in, and it'd be a funny like, okay, it's this lady's turn, and then it'd be a rotation like the next weekend, it'd be that one. I'd dance with them all throughout the night, but it was like one lady's particular night where she didn't dance with me more.
Nice.
And so I'd come in, have like two drinks before they got there, and the rest of the night I get drunk all weekend for free because these old cougars wanted to dance with me for swing dancing. So yeah, it was good.
I kissed an old lady because of that. The Wrinkle Room. Same thing with Wrinkle Room, dude. Like, that's the name of it. And like, I was like, fucking girls can do this. Why can't I do this shit? It was great.
You
went like free drinks all night. Like I'm 21. I drink a lot, and I don't have to pay for it right now. It's perfect.
Well, then again, I never really went to bars. I was more of like, hey, let's go get a bottle of Jack Daniels and go drink in an open field somewhere.
Can we just like behind the 7-Eleven? Is there good cover from like side streets and stuff like that so people don't see it?
There's like two dumpsters. We could totally drink right there.
Done it so, behind the taco shop, dude, for like years. Years of drinking
down
the taco shop.
Like. You know, down by the creek.
Yeah, like, well, El Ranchito, just behind that. Like, that was constant. Okay, so anyways,
Bear funny Night, stuff. Like
Bear Night. It was just a funny Night. Picture.
Let's go. Let's get some free drinks.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll get you guys drinks. See,
hey, we'll have a bet. Who gets the most numbers?
So, quick movie reviews.
I'll blow, dude. Yeah. I'll win.
I win.
You're my real gay chicken.
Yeah, that's
I win.
Real life.
I'm going skiing.
You're like, I'm getting my feet. I got skiing plus one.
Stupid idiot. I think we lost Knife. I think he's dead. So, quick movie reviews. The movie Arrival, right? I talked about it or whatever.
Yeah.
The same director I got recommended from like this. One of the guys that I was talking to, like Brian's roommate, I was talking to him about movies, like a big movie buff. And so I talked about Arrival, and he's like, oh, it's great. You should see the other things that the director's made. And I'm like, okay. So he talked about Enemy and Sicario, two movies that I saw. And so Enemy, I'll talk about first. Enemy is a movie that has Jake Gyllenhaal, right? And it is a movie that is something that you have to look up the meaning after you get done with the movie. Then when the movie ends, you go like, what the fuck did I just watch? And then when you look, and if you go online and you can find out people's opinions and kind of like, is a good thing if you've played this game was Inside. It's a video game, like it was the sequel to like Limbo. It's like a $20, you know, 3-hour, 4-hour game.
I never played it though.
That game, when you get done with it, you go like, what the fuck did I just watch? There's all kinds of metaphors and little like breadcrumbs along the movie to tell you what's going on.
Delicious.
But like just the images on screen, you're like, what the hell? So I was online for like probably an hour after the movie ended, and I will give the movie like a solid 8 out of 10. Like I really enjoyed watching it. It's really like, you know, you want to watch the movie. You're not bored the whole time, but by the end of it, especially just the last 10 seconds, you're like, what the fuck just happened on screen right now? And
that's usually what I say for the last 10 seconds. Yes. I'm like, what the fuck is going on screen right now?
Yeah.
What am I watching? Why'd I click this?
How'd I just finish this?
Yeah. Once you, well, if you finish before, then you're like, what did I just, I was blind for like 3 minutes.
I'm ashamed.
Yeah, you're ashamed. The last 10 seconds of the movie that I was reading online, and people consider it the scariest like part of any movie.
It's like, not like a jump out and scare you. It's like psychologically?
Psychological. Yeah. I guess it's kind of both, but I'm not going to say what it is or give it away. I just read that and I was like, yeah, I jumped like straight up. I was like, you kind of shiver inside. You know, I was like, well, you don't know the movie is going to come to an end either. And I was like, oh, what did I just watch? Like, that was insane. So that was a really cool thing to have happen because it was very unexpected and whatever. And then, so if you're into movies like that just really you are lost, and then you get the experience of talking to other people online or like looking at YouTube or whatever reviews and get to like get everyone's opinion, and the opinions are super long and drawn out, have like, you know, 4 or 5 different explanations for different parts of the movie.
Like No Country for Old Men or something like that.
Is it a movie like that? I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't seen it? That's a good movie.
Is it like that, though?
I haven't watched it yet, but
it's like, it's like a lot of meaning and metaphors and shit
like
that.
Ton of that, dude. So
real quick, Fuego Sicario is like, personally, I'm kind of a fan of Jake Gyllenhaal. I like a lot of his movies. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Like, he can play some parts. He can play some parts.
His sister's a damn derpy face, and like, you know, what the fuck. But did you ever see Nightcrawler?
No.
It's very interesting. No, it's not nowhere near the same as that. It's not like over the top scary thing.
Yeah,
it's a very.
Is it like maybe Donnie Darko?
It's a very, yes. It's more along those lines in a sense. It's not like a astroprojectual, like, otherworldly situation.
Right.
But it's just, it's a very looking into the mindset of a person, kind of an adventure.
Then this is that kind of movie. It's looking into the mind of this person. It's the movie about the subconscious. So just already you're like, okay, here we go. We're in for a ride. You know what I mean?
So I enjoyed it. It's kind of like, okay, this is happening, and this is good and very good. And then the ending is like, damn, okay. You kind of see this is what's going to happen, but it's like, fuck, you really just did that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's good.
Donnie Darko is like a very mild comparison to this, where like after that movie, you can like go online and be like, okay, what happened exactly? Like, I have a pretty good idea, you know, and but I'm trying to see like maybe like the timeline of it or this and that. It has like an ending that has like it seems like it has like a loop or something in it. You know, it's kind of, I wanted to go online and look at what people thought, you know, exactly what it meant. And so I saw that, and then another movie that I've seen already, but I recommended back to him because he told me about that. I'm like, okay, I saw this movie. This movie is absolutely insane. Here's one for you that is it's a $5,000 budget movie. So it's like not something that you're going to watch and be like, wow, that was amazing. You're going to watch it and go like, damn, that had some thought behind it. It's called Primer. It's like super low budget. Like I said, it's just two guys, the whole movie. Like it's like no, the budget was probably just cameras. Like it wasn't even like, you know, scenes and this and that. So like renting out, like getting permits for stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mostly in this guy's house, mostly whatever. But it's like kind of like a time travel-y thing.
Okay.
It's tough, man. It's a tough movie to watch too. Same thing. It's just you get through and you're like, okay, let me go online and see exactly like what I missed along the way, because like it, I get the general idea, but like I know there was so much more that a person smarter than me would have caught. You know, that's how these movies are. Sicario, I just give it a solid 7 out of 10. It's kind of like
the one about where they go down to Mexico. And,
yeah, it's like a narco movie.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
It got really good reviews, definitely higher reviews than I'm going to give it. And I thought the director was like same thing, outstanding director. Like the way they were shooting shots and the way that like the conversations were going, I wasn't bored. It was a slow movie, slow burn, but I wasn't bored. But the story was just too light for me. The story was like really like two sentences long, and that's it. And
I feel like it was a build up to absolutely nothing.
How like, do you, if you're my girlfriend didn't like it, about, my girlfriend, how are you giving it a 7 right now? Then
what's that?
How are you giving it a 7? Because
the way it was shot, like the movie was kind of like really good in like
you a definitely lot of ways. Have different.
So styles you're like giving you're giving, like,
you're giving editing story, and picture yeah, yeah, and camera yes, work.
Absolutely. Like story is probably a 5 out of 10. Directing is probably like a 9 out of 10 or like 8.5 out of 10 for me.
The grip, I it was the like, grips were like a 10 out of 10.
Grips were what is that?
The grips.
Cameraman, the grips.
Oh, I don't even...
Holding the camera straight and steady?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, super he's dead. Making fun of you, asshole.
I don't know. I don't get it. Over my head. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I guess I do judge movies bitch. Differently, but overall, like, I still wasn't, like, bored, and I wasn't, like, mad at the ending. I was, like, fine with it. I felt like, you know... But it was... Like I said, the way it was shot was really cool. I just thought it was really nice. But, yeah, that was kind of whatever. I wouldn't recommend it. Enemy, though, like, I'm not going to recommend it. It's just that if for some reason you want to get your mind fucked with and then
you
do it,
wouldn't you know. Recommend Enemy?
No, because I'm saying I can't recommend it to everybody because not everybody's going to like a movie like that. If you're gonna watch a movie without a payoff, then what are you going to do about that? You're not going to like that. Some people are definitely not interested in stuff like that. My girlfriend would hate Enemy. She would be like, what did I watch? I'm not interested in even going online. I'm going to literally just give up on the idea of this movie. You know what I mean? So, last thing. And we're moving it on. This is long and drawn out. I put fake grass, artificial turf, on my front patio, and I'm very tired from it. And I just finished it today before I came over. I was like, when I got done, I left the house. And it involved me doing all the work myself and moving 500 pounds of dirt from the area to a tarp on my patio on the side, then moving that 500 pounds to the back of a truck, then moving that 500 pounds from the back of the truck to dump it somewhere, then... taking the truck, getting 1,000 pounds of decomposed granite, getting dumped into it, which was hilarious seeing like the bucket, you know, like the Bobcat or whatever it was, just like dump all this crap into it. And the truck was boom and just like totally sagged. You can hear shit creaking everywhere. I'm like, oh God. And drove that home, totally forgot my shovel there. I just like, I heard a noise of it like falling off the truck, but I was like, that's probably just the chassis creaking or something. And then I got home, I'm like, oh fuck, I lost. That's $20. Damn it. And then I had to move that 1,000 pounds by myself once again over to the area and then use like a tamper and like compacted the fucking shit. Anyways, it's to some people that just do it all the time. They're like, you're a pussy and whatever. That's like, I do tile all day and fucking drywall and this and that. But just doing
we're
it.
We're on a magic it, podcast.
Yeah, doing it without a paycheck suck balls, dude.
I'm not trying to stereotype our audience or anything.
Some people out there, someone out there is going to be like, you.
Yeah, we have like a very less. Like.
Let's just leave it at that. We're good.
There's like one listener who's just like working out, listening to us, you know? He's like, oh, yeah. That's oh, a, you dude, fucking pussy. That's fucking 1,000 pounds of dirt.
That's ambitious, dude.
Yeah.
That's one person?
Yeah.
I don't think it's one person.
Maybe it's one really buff chick.
Tom one Porter. Person listening for the first time by accident.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyways.
Anyways, grass looks great. I'm super excited. That's it.
So, Jennifer Aniston is denying reports that she's pregnant. Because she has a little bump. She has a little bit of a tummy going on.
Dude, she's like 67, dude. Like, give her a break.
She's
not 67.
She's 47.
Are you sure? Look
and
again.
And she
again.
Married, in 2015, married fellow actor Justin something.
Justin what? I might know him. Well, I might have dated him.
Theroux?
Might be, oh, I have I no know. Idea. No, I didn't sleep
it's
with
like,
him. I have no idea
who
that
just is. Stop.
T-H-E-R-O-U-X? How do you...
I'm getting so fucking angry right now.
That what you just you're jealous?
No, I just I hate celebrity bullshit. Who gives a fuck? We're talking about it on our podcast.
Well, we obviously give a fuck. Two out of three cast members agree.
Like,
that
show me her topless photo or her sexy Maxim photos.
Well, I'm not
going
to show you any topless photos because she was just in the Bahamas, according to recent reports.
Oh my
and
God. oh my TMZ, God. Dude, is part of this. We need like
no,
a new little
no,
intro
no.
for the TMZ segment
yeah.
of our cast.
Dun, 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 dun. Wait,
next week we talk about John Malkovich.
Yeah, exactly.
I like
anyways.
Oh, I like John Malkovich.
Okay.
You don't?
You're just adding to the bullshit. Stop.
You know what? Actually,
I do, though.
I really like the movie he was in alongside whatever.
He's hilarious
actor.
In Red.
Yeah. Red. Okay, Red's a good movie, yes.
Yeah,
Red
motherfucker.
Is,
I haven't.
Red
I,
is super fun. That's a very fun movie.
Yeah.
Like, is it
a
10 out of 10?
One?
No, 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 no. It is like a, that is like a 7 out of 10 movie, but it is really fun to watch.
Apparently, Brad Pitt has been texting Jennifer Aniston during his divorce with...
the bitch who has like 10 African
okay,
children.
Who, yeah, who's who gets the kids?
I don't
you
know.
Look that up really quick.
What? I'd say she has to keep them.
It's part of the yeah. I keep all the money. Keep all the kids.
Yeah, perfect.
The end.
Video games. Small amount of peas.
Small amount of peas. Small amount of peas.
So,
steak.
I didn't really have too much going on this week. I've just been playing the same old games. Still just knocking out HUT contracts in Star Wars Battlefront. I've been like actively looking for other games, like searching through the storefront on Xbox. Just like nothing's popping out to me. What I'm really waiting for is the South Park game.
Oh my god, that's gonna be so good. That like, first one was so good.
Talking about Battlefront or Battlefront, right? Battlefront
yeah.
real quick. Are you gonna get the new Jedha DLC?
You spend more money on this game?
I already bought the season pass, remember?
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah.
So then
remember,
if you download it, it just came out. Have you downloaded
it? Yeah,
that
was the conversation last week. He wasn't here, don't worry about it.
Sure. Yes.
It came out a couple days ago, I believe.
Well, so I downloaded the season pass, or I bought it
illegally.
allegedly. And
both things.
So I only play like certain.
I don't know how to do this.
I only play certain multiplayer game types. Like I don't play the one where you play as the hero. You know, I play like the.
That one's fun. Did you like that one?
Yeah, it's because I just suck at playing the hero. Like I haven't like got into it, and I don't
that was
like
my favorite mode personally. Actually.
I don't like the flying ones either. Like I just
yeah, I don't give a shit about that.
I just suck.
You know what's tough is doing little speeder bikes. I don't like. You know,
yeah,
that,
dude,
that's
those
hard.
Trees just jump out of
yeah.
nowhere.
I'm going in a straight line, and I'm like, everything's clear, and then all of a sudden, tree, like the Evil Dead tree or whatever it is, right? He just comes out and rapes me, and I'm like, no.
Boom, Ewok.
Yeah, boom.
But, so yeah, I haven't played, like, a lot of the new maps just because I don't play those particular game types. I've just been having fun. Like, you know, it's the whole thing of, like, if you don't play a first-person shooter for a while, you just suck at it.
Hot
and especially
garbage.
If you're new to the
Dude,
game.
Just do the third person mode and then you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Boom. There we go.
What an asshole.
So,
fuck you.
Especially if you don't know the maps. Like, you know, you're just garbage right off the bat. So it took me like a couple days and then like I started actually like getting good, unlocked some new guns and everything and found a gun that's been working for me. So just having fun with that and still playing Galaxy... Of Heroes, just non-fucking stop.
I just unlocked Darth Vader Zeta material.
Ah,
this is like the new
Empire.
Dude, this
Empire
is like the new World of Warcraft addiction for you guys.
It's so fucking.
It's just
fun.
A good game.
So I know it is. World of Warcraft is a good game. What are you talking about?
Now, actually, it's garbage after they nerfed the talent.
That's
trees.
Fine, but that
after
is a reason
you can buy your character level 80.
There was a reason you guys
and you
played
can't
it.
You can't really twink anymore. It's garbage. Because I love the twink. Anyways.
That sounds like it's like the sissy boy gay guys. What's twinking?
Twinking is where, like...
Twinking is a different thing in porn.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. Oh, trust me, I know. But, no, it's where...
None of us are twinks.
There's there's multiplayer multiplayer level brackets. So like the 20s through 29s play each other.
Okay.
The 30 through 39s play and so forth. So what you would do is you'd get a guy to like level 29 and then just stop leveling and just deck him the fuck out. And so you'd just be going through the fucking battlegrounds just ganking motherfuckers. Just especially like the rogue. So you'd be like all stealth. And then, you know, there's some like, oh, you're like, look at this level 22 fucking idiot sporting like green gear, like, you know, whatever, like just like total common bullshit. And you just come up behind him and just like in two shots, you just crit him and kill him, you know. It was just so fun because people just fucking just rage, you know.
Well, yeah, you're an asshole.
And now what's the new deck? He gets fucking burn. That's the same. That's the best burn. He gets burned in modern.
You're becoming worse than hot sauce. Jesus.
Thank you.
like your usual eight rack dicking around, that's great. I love the saltiness of that. That's fantastic.
So yeah, I've just been playing that. I'm actually wondering. I think they might have like a podcast for Galaxy Heroes or like a live YouTube
channel or something.
If the world is that deep, you could totally have a podcast. Oh, it is.
There's tons of like websites and forums who will talk about like the best way to build your character, best way to mod it, which ways to go, which teams to build. There's a lot of information if you want to spend the time to do that.
Now you got to find the R-rated Cussing Up a Storm podcast that does that.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I kind of like going through and like figuring it out myself. I could go through and do like the in-depth thing with other people and the forum stuff.
Well, you can just go look at the top like 50, and then you can scope out their guys how they deck their guys.
I just kind of figure it out for myself. Yeah, it's always great when you go through and just rape some of the other team you're fighting against. But I enjoy like figuring out myself.
You guys are
and going
burn
through.
Players for life. Yeah. I swear to God, these guys.
That's not
enough of the burn, dude. Enough of the eight rack. Enough of the burn.
So instead of as you heard earlier, there are some people who open good boxes, and there are some people who open not-so-good boxes. And instead of rolling the dice, not that I was going to buy a box, but I was thinking about buying some packs, but instead I said fuck that, and I bought most of the rest of my modern Boros Burn deck, which I've completely bought on MTGO, and it's just so cheap, you know, and I already had most of the pieces. So I was like, I'll just buy the rest on MTGO, and I was playing it, and it's just, like, fun. You know, there's nothing...
So, did you buy Aired Maces, or are you not playing the fetches for it?
No, I'm not doing the fetches. Okay. So this was, like, kind of, like, budget version, because there's, like, a Naya build, and, with all the fetches...
There's a version of burn. They're all very similar, but there's creature burn that's a little more heavier on the creature side, there's also more on the spell side. So
mine's a little creature-y, like, I'm playing in lieu of Goblin Guides, because I'm just waiting for them to go down. I'm playing Young Pyromancers, and I initially thought that they were going to go in the deck anyways, but I just found that I really don't like them. And it turns out they're more of a control card.
More of a Delver strategy, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely like a Delver
cantrip
control.
Stuff. Cantrips just have double bonus, you know, double benefit, you know what I mean?
So those are the first things that are going to go. But
the best card with fucking Young Pyromancer's Cabal Therapy.
Yeah, and so I was playing Abbot of Carol Keep, and then just the whole suite of burn spells, and then in lieu of having fetch lands, I'm running some Magmatic Insights just to cycle through the deck. Because after I hit three lands, like, I don't want to see another fucking land, you know? Three is even, like, you know, pushing it. And there's been multiple games where I've won on turn three, and it just feels good. It just feels good where you're just punishing somebody who's playing control deck, and they just can't set up that fast, you know? It's like...
Do you have that spell where you, like, sack two mountains and it does, like, six damage or four damage or whatever it is?
No.
Okay, that one's like, a pretty sick
finisher. Shard Volley?
I don't know what it is. No, it's like six mana, and then you can go ahead and, like, sack two mountains, and then you can go ahead and hit them for like four or something like that.
So I think it's like a bigger Shard Valley then, because that's the same one for single red, you sack a mountain, throw three.
Right, but this has no mana cost. So it's just like when you're in your finisher, you just don't even care what it is. You're just like, yeah, play this. I know that they're tapped out or whatever. You literally just like sack, but even if you only have two mountains, like, who cares? I have no lands now, but I don't care because I killed you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seems like a good finisher.
So yeah, I'm still like obviously new to the burn strategy, and I'm going to mess around with the numbers, and then the sideboard, I don't even really know. Like, I'm just playing Wear and Tears and Smash the Smithereens, Searing Bloods, you know, just...
Get a Graft Digger for that Reanimator decks.
Yeah.
Graft Digger's Cage.
Yeah, and I need to get the...
Stony Silence.
No, the... Fuck. What's the thing you... if you have it in your opening hand, you can just play...
Ley line?
Yeah, I need to get the red ley line.
Those all shot up. No, the red one, but the white one shot up like
crazy. Yeah, the white one. And I never even saw the red one until recently when I played like a mirror match, and he just happened to have it in his opening hand. It's just...
What does that one do? I don't really know that one either.
They can't gain life,
okay,
basically. And so just to have that in the sideboard would be good because I did go up against
like
a life gain
deck. Isn't
it
damage can be prevented and they can't gain life? I think
Yes. Yeah. And so I did go up against a life gain deck, and it was just ridiculous. Just like flicker wisping out you know, the lone missionary or whatever gets you four life.
Lone missionary is – that's OG, dude. That thing is – amazing.
Yeah, I just could not put up a fight. Like, my hand's empty and they're like at 18 life. I'm just like, well, I guess you win because you have a fucking 1/4 and Wall of Omens, and I'm just can't.
Like against,
I have a Monastery Swift Spear.
Like the Sun Titan or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just get to get Lone Missionary back and just do all that stuff. I'm like, oh my God, that's so good, dude.
Yeah.
And that's why Skullcrack is in the sideboard. For you, you have a main right now.
I have a main board.
Even just like
Wall, I think you're gonna adjust, and that's what ends up coming out of your main, or at least not the playset. But
well, like I said, I'm your call, I'm working with it's a budget deck, and I didn't really like go and look at like other decks. I just kind of like kind of from memory, you know, what Burn plays, and I think I'm gonna have to look at some lists because like Young Pyromancer, that was a bad call on my part.
So, do you want to know the new hotness?
What's the hotness?
It was the latest against the odds, I think it was.
Oh, man. This
Xur the Enchanter deck.
Oh, that, okay. I don't know a different
it's
one.
It's Xur the Enchanter modern deck, right?
Okay.
But it plays Doran, Siege Tower, and a bunch of enchantment creatures to switch out with Xur. So, Xur attacks with 4 in the air instead. And then you got like O5s, and then you have like the Nyxley's Ram. Is that what it is? The O5, Game's Life. You have, you know, I don't know, you just have like a lot of, I have to look at the list or whatever, but dude, it was awesome.
Just
and you can search,
obnoxious.
Okay, another thing. So if you have like the O5s, O4s, whatever, 1/4s, yada, yada, when you attack, you can search out your singleton assault formation and just win on the spot. And it's like, and besides that, you have the detention sphere and, you know, like kind of your standard package. But if you get to attack with Xur and they're just like, okay, he's attacking for 1, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he attacked for 15, like just right there. It's it's so funny, dude. See, if Xur sticks around.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Well, that's like always the case. Yeah. Like every time in EDH, I'm just like, hopefully they don't know that they need to kill Xur, because if they don't, you're going to have a bad time.
It was an awesome build. It was like. It seemed so fun to play and so creative, you know what I mean? He said he had like this little, you know, deck tech about it, and he was like, I went through this list, I went through like a more controlling route, I went through more like an aggro route where it's all enchantment creatures or whatever, but it wasn't like Doran style, it was just enchantment creatures.
Right.
And no, you can get like Corsair Crucifix, which is like a 4/4 in this case, you know, 2/4, but now it's a 4/4. Gains you life on all the lands, has the top of your library exposed, has Nyxfleece Ram, has that, and has all the other one of enchantments, you know, the ones that make all your other enchantments and have Shroud and stuff like that. It was fun, man. Sexy. It didn't seem like very reliable.
Right.
It's 4 colors, which is pretty tough, even in modern, just to like be reliable with it. But I mean, if they gave him a chance, dude, it was looked like such a fun deck. One of the most fun decks I've seen in play, you know? And plus, it's the Enchanter. Like, it's already enticing. And Doran, like, together, it's just, you want to play it because it's so weird, you know?
Fuck yeah.
So, the Seance build was sweet that he had last week, but
I enjoyed that one more.
This is more exciting.
Modern Seance was, it was a fucking, he made a good fucking deck out of that, and it was a lot of fun to watch those videos.
It makes me
want to build that style of deck just because it looks so much fun.
We talked about it. All it does is show how good Eternal Witness is. That's all that deck did. It was just like, guess what? Eternal Witness is one of the best cards in Modern. Like, don't even. It's like as important to like certain strategies as like, I don't even know. Just name a fucking card that is a 4 of it's that important. I don't know. It was awesome.
It's pretty sexy.
So,
so other than that, yeah, I haven't been fucking doing too much.
Yeah, good, great.
So we did draft our cube again.
Mm-hmm.
It's very I'm excited to get some more people in on this because we've drafted it, three times now. And I mean, it's
still a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fuckloads of fun with just the three of us, but I would like to see how the drafting plays out when there's more people.
That's why we gotta get Corey Neese over here.
Yeah, so he can kill all the people.
I still see my old gang up on him just running around him over.
Cold-blooded Corey.
Cold-blooded Corey.
He's never gonna die.
So,
what's up?
Yeah, Cube.
Cube was good.
I totally just went out of the head.
No, I mean, it was, I blew up your swamps a whole bunch, and that was great.
Yeah.
And I stole a lot of crow's creatures, and that was it. But I didn't win very often, but I mean, like, hey, I made it bad for you guys. And
you didn't win today.
I won. Now, you don't remember the most pain you had all day? Was when I stole your 11-11.
I forgot we played four games.
I attacked you for 24 with an empty board, and like that was hilarious. On turn five. Maybe six. Turn six.
It's pretty sexy.
And then you were just quiet for like 5 minutes.
We were shuffling.
You were like, no.
I wasn't angry.
Well, I think personally we should put a group ban on Hot Sauce playing Decimate in any form.
We can play it. He can't.
I feel like that's brought me so much anger more than
from
a lot of cards.
Burn 8 rack player. You can't play the rack anymore. It's all done. That card sucks. I mean, it's great, but
and you need 2 votes to get that ban. I don't vote for that.
Yeah.
8 rack lives.
Count it.
8 rack lives.
So let's move on. Just talk about some Magic. So after, what is it, 4 weeks after the Pro Tour?
Five weeks after the Pro Tour.
They said they were going to open up another ban window. And the reason for it was, basically what they said was to kind of keep Standard in check, give or take, you know.
And it was also like after this previous banning, they wanted to make sure that banning didn't affect things in such a negative manner. That they wanted to have another window in case there needed to be some other banning.
Yeah, so there doesn't need to be emergency bans. Yeah. They just opened up another slotted window so players will know that there's always the possibility.
And so that's like 8 banning times a year, which is like pretty often.
So I just want to point out how fucking stupid people are. I've been like this past week, I've just been angry.
Yeah, he's been boiling, dude.
Yeah, not even about Magic stuff.
Actually,
just
your
like
face
listening,
is really red right
listening
now.
About Trump bullshit and like people like
who cares about political shit? Let it go. Fuck, who cares the shit? It doesn't affect us. Who cares?
No, but just like also like idiots talking about like Muslims when they don't even know how to spell the word Muslim, and it's like anyways, just a lot of stuff's been bothering me, okay? Idiots. And so I feel like a lot of people have been talking about the banning and that they were going to like, they might unban like Smuggler's Copter. It's like they are never going to ban something in Standard and then unban it for that same Standard. Anybody who thinks that needs to take a long walk off a short cliff.
Yeah, that too. So I'm going to break something down that I saw on
That's like a dad thing.
You
get
on these angry rants, and then you cut yourself short. I want you to continue into the anger.
I want to give some facts, and then we can go on there, too.
Well, I'm hoping you guys join in, but you guys are just like,
Well, I thought you had more to say.
Oh, no.
Let me just say this real quick, and then we can continue. Manasaurus had this video that was talking about the diversity of Standard, and it showed, like, all the decks.
Lack of, you mean?
Yeah, well, we'll get there. So it showed that when Smuggler's Copter and all that stuff was around, it had that, you know, the blue-white flash type deck, whatever, was like 21% of the meta.
Right.
And this deck was then, other deck was 14% of the meta. I think Aetherworks Marvel or whatever. And then that and that and that. And it went on down the list, whatever. Now, you know, with their changes that they're hoping to, it's all about diversity, in my opinion. It's to keep it like, I'm pretty sure the text said from Wizards about, it's more about diversity, just people feel comfortable playing a different deck or whatever, than just being locked up in this thing and that thing. So now, after the bannings, when you go to the meta now, it is like 34% Mardu vehicles and like 25% Shaheeli.
Right.
And that's, so those numbers, like when they try to do something and those numbers are now skewed in
way
the
farther,
opposite direction.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to talk about that, because that's fact. That's just it.
Yeah.
It's playing black and white. You know what I mean?
It's not any fun for Standard at all right now. Like especially now, it's so like for me disheartening to know that now, like, all coverage is going to be Standard alone as far as, you know, Wizards is concerned, and then now Channel Fireball shit. To see, like, this kind of Standard that's been made now, it's like, it's not any fun to watch the same two decks play over and over and over again in a mirror match or against each other. It's like, it's just, it's
I don't
want to watch the streams anymore.
I don't think Mono Black Control had 34%. You know what I mean? Like, even though that was so bad.
Oh, yes, it
no, because Mono Blue Devotion was, like,
it
also
was mono,
excellent.
Mono Blue, Mono Black, and then the maybe third one was the Blue White X Control.
Well, they also had the Gruul deck, too. That was good then, too.
Yeah, that was very
still took
minimal.
Still took down tournament shit, like, you know. Just saying. Just saying that if, you know, look at the numbers, I'm going to say, I'm going to go on a limb without looking, that I think this is the highest number in many years as far as one deck owning everything.
But this is for a short amount of time. How long has Mardu vehicles owned Standard for?
No, only this time. It's a short time. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Mono Blue, Mono Black, they were just owning for the entire duration.
The whole point of this is that they tried to correct something.
Oh, yeah. And they
made it worse than Mono Black by accident. And that's, or, you know, in my opinion, not yours, of course, but that's
crazy. At least the same level.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, and also, like, people are thinking, like, oh, well, you know, they're going to ban something else in Standard. Like, oh, Gideon's seen a lot of play. You know, they need to ban him, this and that. They don't want to ban things in Standard. Unfortunately, they felt like they had to, and as Hot Sauce just pointed out, they kind of just made it worse.
Yeah.
But
probably feel terrible about that. Like, they're not stupid over there. They tried to do something.
Yeah.
Make it work. You know, us as a collective, if we had power, we might have done a similar thing, maybe with different cards, probably Smuggler's Copter for all of us, I would imagine. And then if we had the choice, maybe we do none, but I'm saying if we were kind of like forced to, like, you got to change something, we would choose some cards and we might make the same decision they made, in my opinion, that, you know, would also make it worse. You know what I mean? They're trying to be smart. They're trying to look at the numbers, and look at people's, what they want to happen. But I mean, obviously they just shouldn't have fucked with it. That's it. You know,
I just think people are reading into the fact that they added this new ban window. That people are reading too much into it.
Yeah.
It's like...
They even said it's not that they're trying to ban it. It's just that they have a window that if something needs to be banned, if something horrible is skewed and happened...
Instead of like the emergency ban that fucks everybody's wallet,
yeah.
Now they're setting a actual time and date. So they made this ban for the players. So people don't go, oh, I just buy all my foil Emrakuls and now fucking fuck Standard, fuck Wizards. So they added this for the players. So they're not going to just constantly fuck with Standard. And if they did, nobody would play Standard because they would
hurt their main money-making fucking venue is Standard. And they want people to play it. And then they continue to make it so, you know, get shit banned or people have to worry about their decks going away all the time.
So
people aren't going to buy into it as much. So they're not going to do that.
I got two questions.
Yeah.
With this recent banning, would you guys think that because Wizards recognizes that, like, even though they don't want to ban more stuff, that they might need to because, like, those numbers are just way too far skewed, and maybe what would they ban? And then the second question is that the first bannings with the Reflector Mage and whatever else, do you think that those should have been banned, or that, not even looking at now, just if you had the choice back then, maybe would you ban, like, one of those cards instead, or two of them, or all three, or not at all? Like, what do you think, without knowing what you know now, what do you think you would have done?
I mean, I think we can all agree that Smuggler's Copter was too pushed.
Yes.
That was the obvious one. The other two, that's up to interpretation, I think, for coverage-wise, and also just, like, the feel-bads of taking somebody else's turn. I think that's why they took Emrakul away.
Agreed, but at the same time, it was always, like, interesting to watch the Emrakul turn happen to see what they're going to do, if they're actually going to get some big benefit. There's plenty of times where the Emrakul turn didn't do a fucking thing. Like, they just tapped them out and, like, didn't do shit.
They're
like,
relying on chance from Aetherworks Marvel working.
Right.
Or they're relying on building an entire deck to hit it, which could be ramp, but it wasn't ramp. It was, like, blue-green delirium-type stuff, and that was kind of, like, their way to ramp Black-green. Into it, but having, like, a lot of stuff in the graveyard to reduce its cost. So that was, like, a one-of, maybe a two-of at, like, some of the events, whatever. My opinion is that it should have been Smuggler's Copter and nothing else. That's my basic opinion, that one card was too powerful in just in general, and it affected all the decks, it felt like, you know, or at least 80% of the decks. And then the other cards only affected their deck. And, like, it wasn't something that was just a broad spectrum, changes everything. And then if there's only one good deck, if there was only one and it was Aetherworks Marvel, when Smuggler Copter would be banned, people would be doing nothing but fighting this one deck. Right now we have two decks that you have to fight in completely different ways. And that makes it where you can't be good at against both decks, which means you have to play one of the two decks.
Right.
For me, I think, because obviously Smuggler Copter is fantastic. It's a great card. But I think the main problem of why it was so overpowered, though, is because they wanted vehicles to be a thing for the new thing. You know, Morrow's like was so excited about vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, for sure, they pushed it.
They pushed it, and yeah, then that's fine. And the only problem with that is they didn't give a rebuttal to that push. There is, especially at that time, there's barely enough, if any, of quality instant speed removal.
Well, remember, I was talking about that they did change Aether Revolt to make up for their mistake. And then they just banned it anyways. But they said, we're adding stuff, like maybe Fatal Push wasn't a card, and they literally added Fatal Push because they wanted the meta to make sure they had a very good removal spell. This is just, you know, of course, it's a theory,
right.
But they said they were going to change something to make sure it's...
At that point, it's too late, though.
They said they did it. They said they added, there are new cards.
I remember that. I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, in their minds, things had already gone so far ahead that they were too worried that the cards they added weren't going to be enough to change that meta of situation of how powerful Smuggler's Copter is.
Smuggler's Copter,
so I just said, okay, screw it, get out of here.
Fatal Push, like, would take care of that shit all day. Like, Fatal Push is so crazy good. They should have, they you know, if it worked that way, man, they should have just left it in there almost, because that card is, like,
that's,
so
that's kind of my point being is they're just, I think what made Smuggler's Copter is that much more of a hassle you can't deal with is the having to have instant speed and not having enough quality instant speed removal. And I think that was the main issue for that card. Obviously, it's fantastic, but I don't think you see a banning on it if there's good removal. I just don't think it needs to be necessary. And I disagree with taking out Emrakul and Reflector Mage. Reflector Mage is a fantastic card, and a lot of things were going on with it. But, like, from there, like, to take out, like, the namesake card of the set and this whole, like, theorem that happened of Emrakul coming back and this and that, it's like, you made everything. The entire world is based around Emrakul being in here and distorting reality, and now you can't even play the Emrakul? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
They said Smuggler's Copter was too good, too pushed, and then the other two, it was... The feedback was that it's feel-bad moments. They said that they felt bad. They didn't like playing against those cards. That was the thing. It wasn't maybe even it was too good. It was more just like, I just hate seeing this card played against me, and I just can't stand it.
So, what is more obnoxious to you guys? Spell Queller or Reflector Mage? Because personally, I hate Spell Queller. I just fucking hate it. Because every fucking deck I wanted to play would just get fucking Spell Quellered.
I think Reflector Mage is more of a pain in the ass to me.
Okay.
Even though Spell Queller is really, really good. I mean, it's better than that. But I think that the feel bads of the claws of not being able to cast it the next turn is a real feel-bad moment. It's like it's stealing your turn in a way, because that's the creature you want
that's most. Super tempo.
It's the tempo is like very,
I said that from the get-go. Remember that fucking, that slug from the Unglued set, the Super Haste?
No. I know that I remember the name, but I don't know what to do.
Well, no, that's all it was. It was just called Super Haste.
The turn before
you played it then, you played it for haste, you cast it for nothing. You just had to pay the mana the next turn, otherwise you lose the game.
Ah, okay.
So it was like it was Super Haste. So from the get-go, I called the Reflector Mage Super Tempo. Because it's a fantastic card. There's a reason it got banned, but I don't. Again, like I don't think it was. I don't know. It's so a very good card. I get how powerful it is.
Would you have done Smuggler's Copter and Spell Queller, and that probably be it?
No, I'd probably just do Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah, I think it's Smuggler's Copter too.
It was just too pushed. You know, I get why they wanted to do it, and it was just more than they bargain for, you know.
Yeah, they should have just gave it like,
or just
they should have just gave it vigilance and then not had the looter ability on there or something like that, you know what I mean?
Or just make like some kill target vehicle cards, exile target vehicle, something, you know, give a lot of answers,
a common sideboard card, like, yeah, not
just Fatal Push, yeah. You know, give it,
that's what I'm saying,
give then. Some, you know, smash to smithereens, give fucking something. Is there
something to punish and replay a vehicle in the first place to get extra damage? Something
is,
that
is there any like artifact hate in standard right now?
Yeah,
like,
but a lot of it, well, some of it, if, it's, of instant, it's, in, if it's instant speed, it's expensive, and it's sorcery speed, it'll hit it, but it's one mana for that fragmentize. But it's sorcery speed, so it doesn't matter.
What color is that in?
White. One white. It's mana cost 4 or less. So, like, it'll hit, you know, Panharmonicon and less than that. But that's... I have that in my sideboard kind of stuff, but it's still... And it's cool that it's one white, but it's sorcery. Like, that makes it, like, almost unplayable sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that when the mana is open, you're just like, ha-ha, I'm ready for your answer. You know, I have my answer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorcery speed removal is not... Obviously not a good choice, no matter what you're killing.
Oh, so that... That just reminds me, that was also something in their statement. Because Smuggler's Copter was so oppressive, you could not play Planeswalkers and you could not play sorceries, you know, because it would go back to being a creature, or go back to being a artifact and not a creature. So any sort of sorcery speed answer could not answer it. And just the evasion, you know, you try and play like any sort of Planeswalker on turn three, turn four, and it's like, okay, smuggler's copter coming in. You got to activate it once.
It's also crazy where, like, the whole scrap heap scrounger thing, with just basically any card now, but it's crazy that, like, you would play something, and then you'd, okay, it hits the battlefield, now I can instant speed removal of that creature, you know, grasp darkness, and they're like, cool, crew the copter, you know, in response, and it's just, no matter what, yeah. You just lose, you know? You can't kill the copter, because you only can kill creatures, but he can go ahead and respond with his summoning set creature, and just crew it up anyways, and you only have the one spell. That's just like, that sucks, you know? It should be a way where maybe, like, you can't crew it with a summoning set creature, or something, maybe vehicles could have been that instead, yeah. Or... like, what? There could be some different stuff, you know what I mean? It could have been something different.
I just also like people like, oh, what? Wizards wants fucking sorceries and planeswalkers. They're pushing those. It's like, no. They just want them to be somewhat playable.
Yeah.
You know, they want them included in the group of other cards.
What do you guys think about Scrap Heap? Because I think that card is pushed as well. Like a 3/2 for colorless mana and recursion, like, all day, every day.
Can't block. I think it's a solid card. I don't think it's overpushed.
I think it's
a very good card.
I think it's like... on the border, dude. I think that card is, like, especially with the vehicles, it's like in the right set for it, and you just can't get rid of it. And like, it seems crazy.
We
good,
only
man.
Get so many quality recursion creatures like that so often because they know how good they are.
I know, it's just so, it's colorless, dude. Why is it colorless? That's it. Any deck like two artifacts? Should be weaker. You're not going to get a 4/4 flyer for 3 mana in colorless. You got to pay like 5 or 6 mana. Like, they want it to be weaker, even if it's like a rare quality thing. Like, I feel like a 3/2 is already huge. Then the crewing of like 3 to like the sky ship sovereign thing, whatever it is, like, that's already huge. And I'm not saying to get rid of it. I'm just like, wow, that card is stronger than I thought when it came out, man. That's a crazy card.
Yeah, I'll give it more credit than I did when it came out, you know. But I think... you know, the black activation cost of bringing it back, yeah. And having to exile something out of the graveyard, although that might be easier than we thought and more effective than we thought, I don't think it's overpowered.
Yeah, it's a solid card. It's a very good card, but I don't think it's anything pushed beyond over the top. It's a very good, solid card. But.
I think it's higher than that, but either way, no big deal. Opinions are opinions.
So don't be afraid of fucking ban windows, you know, settle down.
I mean, pay attention to them if things are going on, but like, it's not like they're gonna keep banning everything in standard. They have to sell the fucking cards. That's how they make their money.
It'd be funny if they banned like Felidar Guardian, and then Saheeli is like tanks, and then like all of a sudden it's just like, hey, guess what? It's just Mardu vehicles now. That's it. You know what I mean? And even if you like take away, you know, the Heart of Kieran or whatever it is, and some other cards, like, I still think Mardu vehicles is still gonna be great. So,
it's funny, man. I think. You take out, if you were to want to ban something in Saheeli, you'd have to ban Saheeli herself, because then something else is just going to replace the Guardian's spot. She is the troublemaker in that scenario because
she's... I don't agree with that.
She's giving that...
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
She's doing the activation, but without the Felidar Guardian, no other cards can replace
that
card.
No cards that even say that. There's nothing. Everything else, is like return at end step.
This is like one of the very first, if not very few, ever in Magic.
I agree.
I'm not saying you can like go infinite, but I'm saying
if you ban
the Guardian, you're saying, oh, there might be future shenanigans. If you ban her, no shenanigans at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't agree. I think that Guardian would be the correct one to ban. I think so.
Well, how would you get it in and out?
What does that mean?
How would you go infinite with it?
You won't. I'm saying that you ban the combo, but you leave Saheeli, because Saheeli is like the more playable card. Like, it's more flexible. Felidar Guardian like doesn't do anything besides this one thing, so get rid of it, and then people can still play with
Saheeli. I feel like it's the exact opposite. I think Felidar Guardian only does one thing, and Saheeli is the enabler.
That's the whole... I'm saying the same thing, but I'm saying... getting rid of one that doesn't do anything, it's not even an important card, so it's not like losing value and whatever. All I'm saying is that it enables the crazy combo. So like, for example, like maybe Splinter Twin, if there was only one card that would work with Splinter Twin, but there's not. There's multiple cards. Like, there's like even more than that's played in the deck. You know what I mean? It's just that some of them are more expensive and in different colors, but it's only one card. In my opinion, you wouldn't do Splinter Twin banning. You would do the one creature that enables Splinter Twin.
Right.
Leave Splinter Twin for shenanigans and have some fun, but that creature that doesn't do anything besides work with Splinter Twin, it would never see play again. Fine, get rid of the common. Don't get rid of the rare that does fun stuff that can be played in whatever and whatever.
Well, it's just leaving it open to still be broken. Because Saheeli, you know, she just came out, so she's going to be in standard. There's going to be more sets coming in. There's the ability for her to be broken.
But I don't think it'll happen again, and well, I think that modern's okay if it is going to happen.
Well, yeah, I'm not even talking about modern. I'm just talking about standard. But if you were to ban Saheeli, it's not like something can come out that's like, oh, dude, Felidar Guardian. We fucking, now it's broken again. But there is, I'm just saying there's more of a possibility for Saheeli to do interact with other cards than there is with Felidar Guardian.
That's fine. I just think that we're not going to see eye-to-eye on this, basically. I think that it's going
to
be...
Well, you need to grow up.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Get it?
He's a little taller.
He's a little shorter. I'm also saying he's wrong. Because
I think you're wrong, too. But I get what you're saying, but that's the point. You want to be able to have shenanigans, just not infinite you win on the spot by playing this one card shenanigans. So, like,
I think we all agree with that. I just think we're talking about which one's going to be the best one to get rid of.
But agreed. Yeah. But like, the more versatile card in being Saheeli is the one that should stay, because the only thing that makes that combo work for that is the Felidar.
Well, I'm just saying...
Whatever. We're all saying the same thing, just on different opinions.
You guys are talking about banning the bullets. I'm talking about banning the gun. That's, you know...
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Since Rex's not here, I thought I'd bring up some guns. So let's move on to some channel...
He's here in spirit. He's on the table with his big badger bald dick over here.
Let's move on to some Chanafaba, since that's our favorite store.
I hate
store.
That's a segment on this.
We love to bring them up all the time. Wait,
there's one good thing to mention about Chanafaba.
You can't say it either now. Yes!
Chingwacha, ping pa, ping hao.
Chanafaba.
They had the thing where if you bought a card off their website and it was... And it was announced from Modern Masters that you could return the card or whatever, right?
Yeah, there was
some... That's dope. That's amazing.
Yeah, there were some other sites who were doing that, too.
That's fine. Either way, I was like...
They're just the more famous sites that you heard about.
Yeah, probably.
Sure.
It is a nice thing for them. I will say, one thing that I can say good about that company. And
yeah,
that's it.
I was like, that's kind of incredible. I wouldn't do that with my fucking business. So, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, so good for them. Other than that, fuck those guys. Yeah, so they are now for 2018, I didn't read any of the articles. This is all just stuff I heard secondhand. Starting in 2018, they are going to be the sole tournament organizer for Magic GPs. So all the Boo. Grand Prix, Wizards decided to, well, I guess there was a bid or something. I don't really know the story, but it ended up. Chanafaba is.
Let me try to say it right now. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I literally just tried right now. That was not a
fake. That was a try.
That was a try. I just taught myself short. Like, nope,
not gonna happen.
CFB.
It's too late, bro.
So yeah, that you know, it's they did this. Wizards decided to just have one TO because they think it's going to like. Consolidate prices, make them even across the board because different TOs will charge different things. And so they're trying to make it more affordable to where it's like, I mean, these are just made up numbers, but it's like $40 for limited GP, 60 or $40 for a constructed GP, $60 for a limited GP. And
they're all more expensive than that, by the way. It's like double.
Yeah, I know.
Made up prices, no big deal. Points don't matter.
So, you know, there was GPs that were like, you know, $100 or if not more. I think it's ridiculous to charge because we went to Vegas for the Modern Masters and it was $80. The packs were $10 a piece. And then we got like some tokens, which I burned.
And we got Grizzlebrand.
And we got Grizzlebrand and a playmat.
$20 and a playmat. So yeah, we made our money back then some, basically, as in theory, because $60 in packs.
If we would have sold the stuff on site, if we would have just like took our product, sold the product, we would have probably got $80 then and there. You know, now those things are, you know, Grizzlebrand, I think, well, not excluding this reprint, you know, he went back up or whatever. Anyways. What I'm trying to say is that hopefully this is going to be more conducive for competitive Magic play. I don't know. I do know that their coverage sucks.
It's horrible. Fuck, it's so bad.
But I think...
Beyond my hate of Marshall Sutcliffe and the NLSV and the thing of their horrible announcers, the coverage itself, the camera work... I actually went on... Was it like a Magic or YouTube, whatever like that? And it was Channel 5 Ball announcers, and the entire time I turned it on. It was like a top eight. I turned it on from this last weekend, I believe, like GP New Jersey or whatever the fuck it was. And I watched like 10 minutes, and like the whole time I couldn't do the last of 10 minutes because the whole time, because for some reason I think they had like the mic on the shirt rather than being in front of them, and the entire fucking time I hear is the shirt fucking rubbing. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
I've seen that multiple times this last year.
You do this for a living right now. What? How do you not get this?
To be fair, I don't think Channel Fireball, I said it, I don't think they're in charge of like that, the coverage. I still think Wizards is in charge of the coverage, but just actually setting up the tournament as in, you know, what you charge, what the amenities are going to be, the seating, fire hazard, so all that
whoever's
stuff.
Producing this shit needs to watch their own fucking stream.
So you think like the cameras and the crew is Wizards... hired staff, maybe
hiring Channel Fireball announcers.
And then Channel Fireball is like announcers and people that are like chose the event, like doing, like you said, all the food and tables.
Yeah,
and
like blah, all blah. The behind the scenes, yeah, you know, okay. Shit. So I still think Wizards is going to do the coverage, which I completely agree with, no matter how much I dislike Luis Scott Vargas. You know, he is a good player. He knows.
Definitely a good player.
He's
like,
a good player. And he's a decent commentator, I guess, because he actually has a grasp on the game and what's going on. It's just I can't stand his fucking personality, you know. And he's like full of himself. I don't know. I just fucking
That's the thing. I hate the man more than I hate, you know, a lot of what you're like. What you're saying is that like I don't think he's not. I don't want to see him in coverage, but I don't like hate him like Jersey does, which that's fine.
You know? No, I hate Sutcliffe.
On that's thing. Fine either way. But like I don't hate the staff so much. I don't really like it, and I think it's too, like, the humor's weird, and, like, they're weird, and I just don't like hear it. I don't like their banter. Like, the banter is nothing like, you know,
Sidney and the White Guy.
Like, it's not, I know it's kind of a different category, but they could have that. They could totally have that, and they don't. They just, like, they're just spitting out facts, and they're, and then he's full of himself, and he's talking about himself a lot, and I'm like, yeah, that's weird, dude.
I just remember he was with Gabby Sparks one time covering something, and she mentioned how one of the guys, you know, that it was a big deal for him to be in the top eight because XYZ. It was his first time doing something. And then fucking Luis Scott Vargas is like, I wouldn't know anything about that. I only have been in the top eight 20 times. And like, it's just like, really? You're just like, here, this guy, it's his.
This moment's not about you, asshole.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a little kid, you know, fucking riding a bike for the first time. He's like, I've been riding bikes for years. Yeah, you know, I ride bikes all the time.
I hope that, like, when he saw that and, like, recognized it, you know what I mean? Maybe it was just something like a little flub.
I don't know.
I doubt it, but I'm just saying it's, you know, he's still a human being. I'm sure the guy's not a total shithead, so.
Which means he's made out of flesh, so easily susceptible to death. But
I love it. That's like my favorite comment ever. Yeah. Oh man.
So that's one of the reasons why I stopped listening to Limited Resources, among other things like sponsorship by a certain dirtbag company, Chafaba. But I do not like the banter between LSV and Sutcliffe. The previous co-host, I forget his name now. The Asian guy.
Go on.
Oh, that's so sad. So,
Kenji?
No.
Jimmy Wong?
No.
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Bruce Lee? Anyways, Brian? I don't remember.
Yeah, good. Perfect. You got it.
DVD?
That's a possible name for an Asian person, yes. Living in America.
Anyways, I don't like them together. I think LSV just taints Sutcliffe. Sutcliffe already has like very like...
Look, Sutcliffe is the biggest like lover of LSV and the biggest follower. He tries to do everything he can to be LSV.
I don't know. LSV has his own cast. I think they love him a little more.
He's on the cast with him.
May his draws be mighty.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Jesus Christ. I just think Sutcliffe's a fucking idiot. I can't stand his announcing. His style of it is like a trying to copy an LSV, which is even worse. I can't stand Sutcliffe.
Everyone's got to have idols, dude. Not me, though. I'm my own idol. I am.
No one loves me. I love me so. My own blood,
dude. I love me so much. I mean, I'm sure everyone at home can tell. I'm just so full of myself.
False idol.
Going to hell. What?
Man, there was something else I wanted to talk about.
Oh man, bummer. This is bombing. I think it's getting late, dude. It's like
four
in the morning, dude.
You don't tell me what to do.
You don't tell me. Come on,
so
guys.
Hélène Bergeau. If you don't know,
she works for Wizards, right?
She works for Wizards. She's kind of like
head PR, head committee creator,
something
head
like that.
Person who deals with
she's
people.
Important.
Yeah. Is it Bergot?
Helen Bergot.
Probably.
Bert Gio. So.
Wow.
There was some controversy over, well, since Channel Fireball is going to be the TO, that they would have some say on, like, feature matches. And then, obviously, they would favor their own players.
Yeah.
The Channel Fireball players. And so a lot of people were upset about this. Helen stepped in and said, WotC gives direction on feature matches, not the TO. We keep oversight of the event and of the coverage. So regardless of really who's doing the coverage or who the TO is, WotC has a hand in it at all times.
That's good to hear.
That is good.
Because I don't trust Channel Fireball at all.
Yeah, I thought that was an important thing to bring up. That's why I wrote it down right here. It's a cell phone. I didn't write anything on there.
Typed it.
I did. So there was some art spoiled recently by some fucking guy who I don't remember because he's an artist and who cares about those people.
Well, it was also on product.
I don't know what he tries to talk about.
He's getting into.
I don't think.
The thing we're very angry about on the lore side of things.
So,
Oh my god, spit it out.
Nyssa.
Tell me what's going on.
Oh my god, shut up.
I'm going to punch you right now.
Keep going.
No, we're good. Now it's not funny anymore because you butted in, Jersey.
Yeah.
God.
So I saw it on Twitter. Basically, the artist of whoever drew Nyssa was like, hey, Nyssa's on Amon Khet, and here is the art I drew of her. And, to his credit, it's like very decent art. It's a good picture. Other than that, like, no fucking shit she's on Amon Khet, you piece of shit.
Fucking nonstop gatewatch.
It's not
bullshit.
The artist's fault, but it's like, yeah, well, we know that because the gatewatch is involved, and it's just like this story is getting beaten to death.
Won't stop.
To death. And also, it's like we're getting these planeswalkers over and over and over again. Before, we were getting a whole bunch of different planeswalkers every set,
new storylines, new lore, new style abilities.
Yeah, and we're getting how many Gideons, how many Nyssas, how many Nyssas have we fucking... Remember when she came out in M15, was it? Or
yeah,
whenever Nyssa she
Ravine.
Came out, it was like, oh my god, Nyssa's back. And now it's like, make her go away. Fuck, dude, it's, like the fucking hippie chick. Like you're
three
like,
legal
you're,
Nyssas.
You're like, hey, that fucking hippie chick's kind of hot. And then she's like talking to you about how you shouldn't buy, like, fur. And you're like, oh, my God, I wish
hemp,
you would go
seed,
away.
Oil and rope is the way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like,
do you see my dreads?
You just need to...
I don't
to...
shower ever.
You know, big tobacco totally ruined marijuana.
I only
products.
Bathe in the rain.
You know that hemp, like, cures every form of cancer and can be used to build bridges and...
Oh, my God. You breathe the air? That's going to give you cancer.
Did you see that there are homes in Argentina that are made of only hemp? And it provides, like, healing properties along with cheap housing.
Look at how many braids I have in my armpit hair.
Yeah,
I can totally do a new design every week.
Anyways.
Exactly.
I hate hippies, so this is what I'm getting at here.
Hippies are cool, dude.
No, fuck hippies.
I like everybody, or I hate everybody the same. I don't know. It's all
the point is, enough of these certain planeswalkers. Also, the fucking story is just, it's played out now. I can understand, like, okay, two blocks in a row. Okay, cool. Like,
no,
yeah.
It was fine on Zendikar when they had to fucking band together. Sure.
Well, it was like,
but fuck off.
Well, it's like Zendikar and then like, ooh, fucking Emrakul. We got a loose end. We got to tie up. Like, cool. We never really saw that before where like blocks connected. You know what I mean? And it was cool. Now you're just abusing it.
Did they even go there? For the, Jace went there to deal with other problems and Liliana's already there. And this and that. Like, did they even go there because Emrakul? Didn't Gideon follow Jace because he broke his orders? It wasn't even about Emrakul to get there. I'm pretty sure.
Stop looking at me. I don't know.
Dude.
Well, my point is, I fucking hate the Gatewatch. I hate that story. It's so boring.
Yeah, and whoever's writing like the lore these days, like, you just need to stop writing on the website. You need to get some dedicated fucking writers and start pumping out some fucking books. Like,
I love to have the books back, but just like even on Collins, the lore then was well written. It was great. Freaking Alicia, that story was awesome. There's a bunch of good lore right before the Gatewatch started. Like, they changed teams or writers or whatever the fuck happened, but the Gatewatch story It's so bland and boring.
And the Wizards website is so hard to fucking navigate just to fucking try and find, like, story. If you don't have a bookmark or you don't necessarily know where to go.
All the manpower they have is going to Magic Next. They do not have time for the fucking mothership and all that crap, okay? Don't even go there.
So, I'm glad you brought that up.
Segway.
Well, you know, obviously, just... really, just stop. Some people are okay with it. They're like, oh, it's like the Avengers. I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't fucking sign up for the goddamn Avengers, okay? I signed up for fucking rotating blocks of different characters and different stories. I don't need fucking Jace's fingers and goddamn everything, you know? Get your hand out of the fucking cookie jar. I
want it to be in Liliana's ass.
Well, yeah, of course. You just get some fucking Demir Stinky Fingers going on. Yeah, woo. It's the name of the episode.
Make them blue black babies.
Demir Stinky Fingers?
Demir Stinky Fingers.
Pretty good. Pretty good episode title. That will sell books, dude. Seriously, that's like marketing like 101, dude. That's like better than boobies.
I feel like I want to get that tattooed on me. So Demir's,
Demir's, is that, wait, Demir Stinky Fingers?
My finger.
Yeah. Okay, good. Demir Stinky Fingers. Trying to sell it a bunch.
I'm going to go buy a new dog just so I can name it Demir Stinky Fingers.
Come here, Mr. Stinky Fingers. Come here.
Mr. Stinky Fingers.
Oh, my God.
So.
The tears.
So, we've been. Well, first of all, you know, they announced Magic Next, Magic Digital Next, and they've been real vague about it. And, like, we kind of talked about it when they first made the announcement. And then after that, we kind of talked amongst ourselves, and, you know, it didn't really seem like they would be putting out like a new game or new product. It was more of like a campaign.
Was there really even an actual announcement? I feel like they had a like a summit meeting about it, and like a slight information got leaked from it a little bit. I don't think has Wizards actually made an official announcement.
No,
about
it was
it?
From Hasbro.
Okay, okay.
And also the lead design guy, I think.
Oh, that's all right. The new guy they brought in.
It's one of those things if you hear from Hasbro, like, you know it's happening because, like, that's where it all comes from. So they would never talk about something that was a maybe or like, was, you know, just in R&D, and it's just like, hey, we'll just try some things out. Like, Hasbro's like, this is making us money in, like, 6 months, and that's just the end of it, you know?
Yeah, and it would make more sense that Magic Digital Next would be more of a, like, campaign to make all... digital Magic products better, you know, it wouldn't make any sense to have Magic Online be so shitty and still bringing in so much money and then just not do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, and Duels is fucking fine for what it is. You know, like, what really...
Duels is a great product.
Like, what more can you do to, like, make more animations?
Well, no, you can... Well, you can make the... you know, the stack and timers and all that kind of stuff better.
But that's what, you know, MTGO's for. The Duel is geared towards a newer player.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, it's hard for me to go back sometimes because I just get frustrated with the program in the advanced setting. I know it's not for me, but if you just asked, is there room for an improvement, that's probably it. It's just a little bit of the playability.
Right.
But as far as, like, the layout and the stories and, like, the way you open packs, I mean, like, I'm down with all of that. The daily quests, like, totally made a mobile game out of it. It's, like, perfect product in that so many ways.
Yeah, I think they totally nailed it in that regard.
But I still would love to, what we talked about, you know, maybe a year ago or 6 months ago, that sometimes you just want to, like, beat up on some noobs, which is just, like, the computer or something like that, or just random players. But you just want to, like, sit back and not be so invested and spending weird money and all this stuff on it and have to, like, think about deck choices so much.
Trying to figure out your sideboard.
It's more casual, you know? Yeah. It's, like, no big deal. And that, yeah, they don't even have sideboards in that game.
Exactly.
You
know? That's so, what, like, I'm saying.
Cool. So that I think that I would like a little bit more fine-tuning on just the actual, like, playability of it, you know, the gameplay. But that's fine. So anyways, moving on.
Yeah. So, I mean, to add another product, per se, wouldn't make sense because where would you put it? You can't get any more... you know, for lack of a better term, you can't get any more accurate than MTGO. And then you can't really get any more lax than Duels.
Right, I agree.
Unless this you create, like, a whole new product, which would be more of the Magic IP than anything else.
Yeah, MTGO, like, I know it, of course, we have a lot of complaints about it. But yeah, it is accurate. Like, of course, if it works properly, but
right.
Like the stack works right. Like everything, like it's built into the program that, like, if you're playing it in paper, there's not going to be a weird circumstance where the program can't figure it out. I understand that that doesn't include, you know, bugs and hiccups. Yeah. But that's not the conversation. The conversation is that you're right. It's like, it's a precision instrument as long as it works. You know, it does everything that it needs to do in paper with no compromises.
Right.
You know, other than ugly stuff and bugs and blah, blah, blah. But that's okay as long as it, you know, has exactly what it needs to.
And also, no there's no room in between those two products. You can't make something that's a little bit more competitive and difficult than duels and then just back it off. There's no room in between those two products.
You have to combine, right?
That's the only way. It comes down to the stack.
You have to put, like, MTGO precision and add in that in one category, like, versus, you know, then have campaign mode. Single player mode, multiplayer mode, you know what I mean? If it is all, you know, what I'm saying,
just right.
General thing. That, you know, single player mode would be Magic Duels, basically, and you'd be playing against AI and all this weird stuff, but it had the same precision as MTGO, and MTGO would get a nice refresh on the way it looks, but it'd play exactly the same, basically. But, of course, you know, your hand would not be just this little bar at the bottom, it'd be more interactive and stuff like that, and you'd be able to share the same cards and this and that, or whatever, but of course this is all probably never going to happen. I'm just thinking that would be the way to, instead of having a middle product, you combine the two and make it one game.
Oh my god. I just had an idea.
Go on.
What if you could play Magic with your virtual reality headset and you like holding the cards in your hand?
It's like Yu-Gi-Oh! With the fucking wristband.
Yeah, you know, it's just you don't have to smell them.
You know that they you know they have...
And by them, I mean the stinky neckbeards.
Yeah. You don't have, thank God. You know that they have that for board games?
Yeah.
They have I haven't played it, of course, obviously, but I believe it's something where, like, it's an interactive hub where, like, it's kind of like a meetup or hangout or something like that. It's not necessarily like you enter a game and that's just it and it just gets you in the program.
Yeah.
I think it's more like you could, like, see other players and it's more like, have you heard of PlayStation Home?
Yes.
Something like that, seems like, but then you can go ahead and select what game you want to play, meet a person outside the game and ask them if you want to play or whatever, kind of like just awkward VR interaction, and then go play the game and you're across from the player and you're playing chess in a VR world in it, but it's like 3D and you look around the room and the board's in front of you and like when you reach over, you grab the piece and you can move it and blah, blah, blah. So like it's, but it seems like more like, you know, creepy.
Yeah.
It's more creepy of a world than just in a game.
Could you tell if my pants were off or not? That's the real question. So... So
real quick to your point of there's no like middle ground between those two products, and like what else do you do? Well, based on the reason we're kind of bringing this up again is because they had a new TCG Player Magic article talking about this again, and so they had a couple screenshots on there now, and one of the screenshots looks like a Magic styled game that has been turned into a Hearthstone style. Like, I don't have any more basis to talk about that other than the screenshot picture itself is a totally new product as far as what we've seen. And the way it's all laid out, it feels like it's more trying to play in a Hearthstone world.
So if that was the case, then that would just be not Magic. It would be a separate
thing. Yeah,
it would just thing,
be like with, Hearthstone with Magic Universe.
Well, it would just be, like I said earlier, it would be the Magic IP, and that's... intellectual property or...
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at. I just wanted to make that comment of what we're getting into.
Yeah, it would be the characters and the universe, but it would not be Magic.
Yeah.
The reason we're bringing this up is because TCG Player, somebody wrote an article, mostly speculation about what could Magic Digital next be and like what is most likely to happen. And what... Well, I read most of the article and, you know, some of the pictures were pretty cool. I mostly read it for the pictures. It looked like a Steam sort of client or, better yet, a battle.net sort of thing to where you have your Diablo, your World of Warcraft.
When you go on your computer and you're ready to play, you enter your username and password, and then it just go ahead and... opens up all Magic product, anything under the... And they even had Dungeons & Dragons under the same thing, right? You just use your same Wizards account, and you have access to everything, and then you can go and click on whatever icon that for whatever game, and you go right into it, and everything is just taken care of under one username, rather than Wizards not knowing that the guy that plays Magic Duels is the same guy that plays MTGO, you know what I mean?
Right.
So now it's going to be all one thing. All the stat tracking is all the same. They can see... And data, so data is like important. Data makes right. money. Like Facebook is worth so much because of data. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and so, and tracking and all that stuff like that. So like, if they can go ahead and
that is actually-
pinpoint their customer, then if this is all what they should do, but of course they might not, that they should, they can pinpoint their customer. They know exactly the time they play this, where they're spending money at, and they can go ahead and get all this data and put it together. And you, they can even have just like ads on the homepage or something like that as a very basic thing, but they can also just have it where they optimize things for certain players and they change their system because they realize that people are demanding this and they're proving it with the time spent in certain programs or certain whatever. So the data acquisition is like the utmost important thing with creating what people want. That's how you know what people want.
And so then ultimately what they could do is tie in the DCI number to all of this.
Yeah.
And then they could actually know what the fuck people are doing with Magic.
I believe they mentioned they're getting rid of the DCI. I believe there is a word in there that they are combined. Someone said in like a pretty black and white statement that Wizards is trying to get rid of the DCI and make it just be a Wizards account, like an all-in-one account.
So that's another thing that they talk about in this article. It's one of the things they're having the hardest time doing is that's what they want to do. They want to make it so it's all in one hub, so you can your all of your information between your real-world playing to the MTGO to the duels, everything's connected into one account.
And they also had a little tab for Planeswalker points, so yeah, that would right. include okay. your...
And so, go but ahead, from yeah, there, so like that's what they're trying to do. So they want to do. And they talked about in this article, that's one of the hardest things they're having a hard time doing, because the DCI system is very poorly set up. The wizard system, DCI,
super basic.
The
it's
player
like,
points.
It's like spreadsheet shit, and, dude. It's
but it's, but somehow it's so fucked up, they're having so many hard times putting it all together. So they're trying... There is a change to the DCI world, and I believe it's more along the lines of... Not that they're getting rid of it, but they're not...
No, they're not getting rid of your account. I'm saying that they're just pushing it into yes. one more cohesive
thing. They're making it so it's harder to like actually look up your number. And they're trying to like do away with the DCI number and try to get into more of a whatever account with it. So like the DCI is like almost like separate being into itself.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's separate now, and they want it to be the one.
Yeah, so they're trying to get all into its information. Yeah. It's all in one hub that they're trying to get it to.
Yeah, so
having a hard time with it, and they're trying to figure out how to put it all together.
So I got one more thing to add.
Go ahead.
Okay, so... This is something that was in the article, and when I read it, I'm like, yes, that's exactly another huge purpose besides data acquisition and just simply updating your damn program, making it better and making it more 21st century. The other thing is that what Battle.net does, which they should just literally copy it, is that when you play Magic Duels and then you get an MTGO count, because you play Magic Duels and you've already bought that or whatever, they're like, cool, we recognize that you did this. Now you get a bonus. We will give you 3 Kaladesh packs or whatever because we recognize that you played this game. Now you get MTGO, and now it's like, awesome, we're going to give you you know, another thing for Magic Duels. Oh, cool. If you try out Dungeons & Dragons because you played this, now we can do this. And they do all this tracking, and they say like, oh, you played at a PTQ this weekend, and it's through your DCI Wizards account number.
Right.
Now, you played this thing. Now, cool, you got your points or whatever, and you got your packs in person, but because we recorded that, now you get one free entry to a Magic thing. They can give you incentives that cost them no money other than just doing some coding and just giving this person a free thing, and that's what Hearthstone does and all this other thing. When you play Hearthstone, you get a free card back because you played World of Warcraft or whatever.
Right, you got the new expansion.
Right, something. And so like, okay, if you get this, they're going to give you a separate bonus for this totally different game. And console games have been doing that forever. They have, once again, data from Halo 2. When you buy Halo 3, you get one of these special weapons right away from the beginning because you were a loyal customer. Loyalty is what they're looking for.
Right.
And stat tracking and all this stuff. And if they can do that and just give little free incentives that don't do shit, just like the Planeswalker packs or whatever, the player things that I just got today, they just do crap like that, but online, which they do none of.
Right.
You know, all they have are like daily quests and crap like that. There's nothing else they do. So like, if they do that, people are going to play. People are absolutely going to try out everything.
So one of the biggest feedbacks I've seen people talk about, and something that I've actually expressed before and thought it'd be fucking amazing if they did it, is people talking about wishing that Magic would do what Pokemon has done. And that when you buy a pack, a real world paper booster pack of Pokemon cards, you also get a little card in there for a little, like, you know, little number card. So it's a little,
it's
like
a QR code.
Yeah,
basically.
QR code to go on to the Pokemon online, and then you get another pack on there. So it's not that you get the same cards you just opened, but you get to, now you get to open another pack on the little thing. I get it would fuck with the marketplace and people's money in there.
Yeah,
and I get that's an issue.
I didn't want to bring it up because it's not going to happen. I know why you're bringing it up. I didn't bring it up.
Well,
I was like, never
just saying,
happen.
As they're moving into more of the digital world, like, yes, you will get outcry from people who have spent money on a marketplace and all that kind of things. But if you're looking into building into this bigger process of bringing anything together and getting people into that system and things like that. Like, I agree, it'd be a very hard thing for them to do. There's things that they've shown in the past they don't want to hurt the people who've been playing longer in the reserve list and all that kind of shit. But it's just such a great way to take your payer product and get people to go into your online product and continue to, once again, incentivize people to play the other products that they have.
What do you got,
Mike? I was just going to say that all of this sounds great. I don't think they'd ever do what Pokemon did, just because of the pure fact they want you to spend money.
Agreed.
And I don't think they, if they were smart, I don't think they would ever give away stuff on MTGO that would compromise the economy. So what they could do...
They couldn't just give away treasure chests? Like, that's like not a lot. I'm not saying like, to give them 10. Like,
you're not even
like,
guaranteed a rare in that treasure chest.
You literally get one
Collins on Collins round things.
And it only happens once.
I think there's ways to go about it. Like, I agree with you. I don't think they'll do it because there's so weird of a backlash of people who have spent all kinds of money on there. But I think there's workarounds to get into the way to do that where they may eventually work into it as a possibility of, here's your randomness, here's your three cards in this treasure chest from this QR code.
I think it's... Well, first of all, there's other things you can do on MTGO. There's avatars. You went to the San Diego GP. You get the special GP avatar.
That,
great, fantastic.
That too.
You can do that. Even though you can buy and sell those, are relatively... inexpensive and just like fun, you know, decorate your personality or whatever. Yeah. What you could do with all of this is do all this on Magic Duels because there's no economy on there. You just buy the packs because you want the cards because you're too lazy to sit around and grind fucking your 5 years of your life away just to fucking get one mythic, you know what I mean? But it's so easy to, hey, you went to two GPs back to back. Here's some free packs on Magic Duels, or even on some of their other games they could incorporate. But I think leaving the MTGO economy alone is crucial because just look at Puka Trade. Just look at it. When you start fucking around with shit in the economy and start giving away stuff for free, it gets really, you know.
I knew your rebuttal was going to go this direction. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I do a little bit, but I see where you're coming from. It's just another perspective is what I see.
I do feel like if they went forward with this, they would at least initially start with giving away stuff and giving away cards on Magic Duels. I think that'd be the best way for them to start with it. But if they see an exponential growth in the Magic Duels players because of that kind of situation, Hasbro as a company wants to make money. And even though it's secondary market and this and that, I can definitely see them future-wise, if it works out well on Magic Duels, incorporating some form of it to MTGO. Even though it may or may not be the way to go, I'm just saying I don't think you can completely dissuade this as a possible future maneuver.
So another reason why I don't think they even have to touch the MTGO economy at all is because in Homeboy's fucking announcement, you know, whatever the new head director, fucking emperor, whatever, he talked about, hey, did you ever want to see Magic characters in a MMORPG? So obviously they're looking forward to take the IP and move it into other games, just like the Magic Quest fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Puzzle Quest.
Puzzle Quest.
There was a PlayStation Magic the Gathering game before.
Yeah, so I think they want to move forward in that direction, so that opens up more opportunities where you'll be able to link those things and go, hey, you fucking did all your daily quests on fucking this. Well, here's a free fucking, you know, sword, or here's a free, you know, like, you know how like in the RPGs, like the shirt you wear doesn't have any stats, it's just for like color or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you put like a, you know, like something on over it, you know, but you still kind of get that like color and flair. So, you know, they could do certain things like that to where it's just like so iffy to fuck with the Magic Online economy that I don't think they want to do that.
I'm just saying, if you move forward and do more precise things, and if this thing actually works out and goes forward in things, I don't see how they add all these new benefits and all these other products and don't push anything that makes people want to play MTGO.
Well, MTGO, if they just make it a better program, there's nothing that can compete with it. There's
agreed.
Besides other games, other, you know, TCGs, nothing can compete with it because it is literally a physical representation. Digital representation of the physical game. So it speaks for itself. It's just a shitty fucking program. So if people get hooked with the Magic MMORPG and the puzzle quest and, you know, this and that. And then they're like, well, the fucking this universe is kind of cool. Let me, like, see what it's all about. And then they get to the digital representation of the physical game. And guess what? Now they're like, well, I kind of want to go to, like, some tournaments or something, you know. And that's how you get them in the fucking seats at the tournaments. You know,
so I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Except.
I think that, let me say that if they have this cohesive, you know, Battle.net thing.
Right.
That it's a guarantee that they will be doing the avatars and they will be doing, like, all the stuff that, yeah, you know, don't affect, not no
actual real game
currency, no gameplay, no advantages, just like flair.
Yeah.
Right? Guaranteed. That's like, yeah, the easiest
thing
for sure. Every fucking
product. If they don't, they're fucking idiots.
I want to say a couple things, though, is that do you remember when they had the Community Cup last year?
Okay.
And if the Community Cup won and you signed on MTGO that night, then you would get the unhinged or unglued or whatever full art basic lands in foil and non-foil.
Unhinged.
Right.
Unhinged, yeah. And then I remember I got, for another one of those kind of events, I got a playset of promo Path to Exile.
I was, okay, so as you were... No, not the one that I beat you in Tiny Leaders about. No, not that one. I'm not talking about that one. As you were talking about this, it just clicked, and I did remember that we did go into our account one time, and we found, hey, we got these promo Path to Exiles, and they were like 10 tickets, and we fucking sold those things right away. And we were able to draft right after that. Do you remember?
So when I say this, I don't want to say that that was the correct move to give something of really high value or something like that. Maybe even there's a way that they could give something that... First of all, if they gave a treasure chest, for an example, a random thing, that it would be something that you could not sell on the secondary market. It would be like, it would just be in the program, and then you'd open it up, and you get the cards. Let's say there's even a way that if you did get free cards, that would be a traced, highlighted product. You'd be able to play it, but you'd never be able to sell it.
Okay.
So you're throwing cards in the economy to be able to play and have fun, but you're never able to do anything with it, you know. But they're not doing this a lot. This is not something that they just throw out willy-nilly. I'm saying that, like, if you bought Magic Duels and you went into MTGO, it's a one-time thing. I'm not saying that it'll even happen twice a year, basically. It's just I'm talking about initial incentive to get someone to move from product to product. Impact, I want it to be at the minimum, but I want it to exist. I want there to be free treasure chests. I want there to be promo cards, but just so sparse. Just enough to get you in for that first month, you know, and that's it.
And so I'm an idiot because I was taught...
Agreed. Continue.
Just whatever.
Is that your point?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm an idiot. And that's it for episode... No. So I'm an idiot because they already do that. If you spend X amount of dollars in the store, you get this promo. Yep. If you participate in this number of events, you get this promo. And Wizards is horrible about promoting that.
Yeah.
I have never...
Well, you only get the information for the website, and you can't navigate the
website. And it's fucking buried, like, way deep. Yeah. I wouldn't even know how to find it now if I was actually looking for it.
When I come across promos on the Wizards website, it's by accident.
When you're on Battle.net, the MTGO one or the Magic one or whatever,
Magic.net.
Magic.net, thank you. When you get that, the left-hand side of the full screen application or whatever is going to be all the stuff you're going to play and all that stuff. The right side is all self-advertising.
Yes.
Just the whole time. It's like literally click here to see what stores in your area are, blah, blah, blah. Just type in your zip code or it's already in your program.
Super
now
easy.
You got, okay, here's the new promotion this week. If you sign up for this thing, you get this. You have all these advertisements for themselves, and that just all it does is make you, before you play, you're like, okay, let me just read this real quick. Oh, okay, well, you know, they're going promo Aether Hubs, you know, at local game stores this week. Now I know because I'm just playing MTGO, but MTGO doesn't have that.
You know what? Obviously, this whole conversation is built on the speculation of this one article, but this is like the smartest fucking thing I've ever heard of for Magic to do. It centralizes everything. It consolidates everything. If they do get rid of the DCI numbers, they move it over to some sort of
Wizards account
number.
That's all it's called.
Wizards account, you know, which combines your MTGO quote unquote number and your DCI number and whatever else it
duels
can,
and your Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
so I'd love to say that we are like having this really good conversation, really smart conversation. But everything that we're saying, I feel like, is already based on other stuff that exists. And I feel like they're just being blind to it and feeling that they already know their own way. And I feel like if they just adopt other people's shit, then everything's cool. And they're not doing anything new, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We already know that the other stuff works.
Well, tried and true works. If it works, fine. It works.
Well, so. Obviously, I think that's what they brought in Homeboy for, is he's you know, it's actually somebody who's been successful in the gaming world, and so he's not going to be like, hey, let's, you know how Wizards just likes to try random shit all the goddamn time? They're like, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's try this. What are these inventions? Fucking throw them away.
Hey, what about having, like, card sleeves, even in PGO? They don't affect anything, right?
Well, you never really see the back of the card.
But you're in the new program, and you might be able to see even the border of the card would just be a little bit exaggerated.
Well, you don't know this, but they've done that. They've started doing that
in duels. Yeah, right.
And so, like, again, like, you don't have to spend any money on there, but again, it's something that if you have played enough, you clicked all the cards, well, now you can you know, gain more coins, and now you can buy new card sleeves.
You play in the you play in the Amonkhet pre-release, you go home, you have Amonkhet-themed sleeves
for
all
sleeves.
Of your accounts or whatever, because it doesn't affect anything.
Yeah.
But you have to do it in person. They have to. There's no buying it or nothing. It's literally only for them.
Well, I think all it is higher than three.
All it is a simple code.
Fucking genius.
Simple just code.
Don't let HR come anywhere near us, and we'll help you out.
Yeah. Did you know that commercial where the fucking Jimmy Wong spoiled the Emrakul?
That was the best commercial I've seen from Magic ever.
Yeah, that was literally the best advertisement. That got me more hyped than any.
You know
what'd
be crazy? The holy fuck with the bleep out and the fucking. It was silence as the fucking car they put on over his mouth. That was great.
Here's a simple conversation. You're playing an MTGO.
Yeah.
You're if against an opponent, you see his card sleeves. In the chat, you go like, oh, how'd you do at your pre-release? That's crazy already.
Boom.
That's already crazy to like know something without knowing them. Like, that's already making more friendship than you can do it right now, because all right now it is good luck, have fun.
Hey, what'd you pull at your pre-release?
Yeah, that's
it. Pull anything
cool? If you say that already adds so much value to your product.
Yeah.
Which then means they need to work on their chat, because the chat's horrible.
Oh, my God. So
that's updating the MTGO program, so whatever.
That whole program needs so much updating. So the three of us were on MTGO. Oh. I logged in. I was like, hey, they're already on. They're probably playing a game together. I want us to be able to all chat together, so
you're allowed to watch games, but they can't talk to the players.
a long time? Well, actually, I think you can.
Well, but I mean, like, not easily, and not in a functional sense.
So a long time ago, I had jokingly made like an If Lands Could Kill like clan on MTGO, and I totally forgot about it. And then when I logged on, I was like, hey.
They wanted me download the program. I've been in that. It's like,
we have an Xbox clan that you started or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just joined that too, because I saw that.
I joined it like 4 months ago, and then finally this week, it's like, you've been added to the clan. I'm like, you jerk.
I don't
know. We have like two other people in our group. I'm like, I don't know what those are, but okay.
I thought that was funny that you had it, and then you didn't. I tried to submit my application, and you were just like, nah. I'm like, what is the point of making it then?
We got a lot of people we're looking at, and, we'll get back to you.
You gotta make the cut.
So anyways, I was able to get in the clan chat so all three of us could talk, but it's like, there's no, you know, like, every instant messenger ever, whenever you get a new message, it flashes on the...
so you know you have it.
The bottom bar, task bar, whatever it's called. Anyways, it never fucking does that. It's like the worst thing in the world.
And then if you go to trade, it just completely kicks you out of the chat entirely.
Yeah, it's like one chat window at a time. But even it's not. It's still like there's like folders of chat windows, but it kind of like does some weird things where it pops you in and out. It's really dumb.
So to be able, the whole reason I brought this up is because you were just talking about interacting and really connecting with somebody who you're playing against, or just another person on MTGO in general, and it's like they are making it so hard to do that right now with the trading, with the chat, with the clan. Like, nothing really happens about the clan, you know? Like, hey, you get 50 members, and then you get to fucking get a free pack on duels, or like, you know, something. It's so easy. Yeah. It literally means nothing to be in a clan. It doesn't show anywhere. When you're playing a game, it doesn't say, like, If Lands Could Kill, Knife City. You know, it just...
If you had card sleeves or something, just imagine something else that's like that may have some personality to it that says, like, I am into this, or I was here, or whatever else. It's kind of like you're going to, like, a convention and you are wearing the same t-shirt as somebody else. And you can automatically look through the crowd and be like, this guy likes, like I said, Rooster Teeth, you know what I mean? And be like, I can already... 100 people around me, I don't care right now, because I see this one guy and I'm like, awesome, I could just... By chance, if we're in the same line or whatever, I can be like, hey, what's up, dude? You know, it's like, it's little ease, because you know something that everyone else doesn't.
Even just
on
a human base level, when we talk to the layman, the atypical person you see, people think of as a Magic player is the super nerd. We all know there's a very big variation in the community of Magic players and who we are and this and that.
Yeah.
But that's the atypical person that the layman would see is, you know, the super nerd who's antisocial. And so you add that easier to talk to people kind of thing, people who have self-confidence issues can have more and start a baseline of human interaction on the fucking MTGO if you have a better chat and talking to people and talking about the sleaze and talking about how your pre-release go. And people might start becoming more comfortable themselves talking to people in that form. And just as a human base, it'll get them to have more confidence in themselves, maybe go play Paper Magic. Exactly. To not just stay in the room and hide in the corner. To be able to like, okay, I maybe, even though this is a computer interactive talk, like it's a good thing to do for your community to do that kind of a thing.
Dude, we're going to make the mothership next week.
We are.
This chat's too good.
As I mentioned before on previous casts, like, I have a friend or two that I still talk to from, like,
Dave Defeat,
and to a certain extent, I had World of Warcraft friends, but I don't talk to them anymore since I quit.
Yeah, I played Tribal Wars years and years ago. It's a computer program or whatever, and I still have, like, Facebook friends with some asshole I was in the tribe with. Yeah. And that was, like, 10 years ago now.
Reich, that's, like, he has more friends online than he has in person, I swear to God.
Yeah.
The guy, but he has, like, good friends, like, people, like, real people that he, like, phone number exchange, like the real deal. You know what I mean? It's like it's a whole big thing to them. He's really big into the Penny Arcade community.
Right.
Which Penny Arcade, like, I can totally associate that just the same as like what Rooster Teeth is for me today.
Yeah.
Penny Arcade was like the OG. That was it. And if you're part of that community, like, you knew something people didn't. You know what I mean? That, it feels good to have that. There's not a lot of those. I guess like the Chive could kind of be one of those type things where, like, for some reason you just feel like you're in a club even though you're not. You know,
yeah, you're passing a guy with a Chive t-shirt. You're like, hey, Chive on.
Yeah, Chive. You know, the Chive thing now. I mean, it started in like 2008. So like it's been.
Oh, I had to start.
No,
before?
No. Mm-hmm. What's that? Chive?
Yeah, didn't it?
The Chive started.
It got most popular around London Olympics times. So whatever year that was.
Oh, really?
Chive was the most popular.
I know that I looked at it the first year. Like, because I remember seeing Kyle showed me the program or the website or whatever, and we were like totally advocates of it. He was a big advocate of it, and then I was looking up, like, you know, the people and all that stuff and when they originated or whatever, and so I saw like what date it was. I don't even know the year off the top of my head. All I know is that when I started watching or looking at the thing, I was, let's see here, is 2 years, so it was 7 or 8 years ago at this point, I think. Okay. So had to have been 2009 or 2008 or somewhere around there. Anywho, but you felt like it was special. Now it's been so long, you don't care anymore. But from, you know, 2009 to 2012, you're like, this is cool, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's just become, you know, any other thing. And Facebook and all that crap kind of blows it up anyways. We're like, you don't even feel that way anymore because there's already videos just pumped into your face like non-fucking stop all day long.
Come you take.
It's all of it, dude. It's just pump, guzzling, pump, dude. It's crazy.
So the point I was trying to make is that it's so hard to make that type of connection on Magic Online. It's not existent. You can't really do that.
No one wants to deal with how bad a pain in the ass the chat box are. It's horrible.
And so if they were to revamp all of that, you would get that interaction. You would get that meeting people on there and then going, oh dude, are you going to GP Vegas? Like, oh dude, I'm going too. Like, all right, cool, you know, like, hey, here's my number, let's meet up, you know, and
just
do some side events
that much more.
These are such simple things. I know we've been going on this long rant about how Magic Online sucks.
Yeah, I need to go home too.
It's been a while since we've done that.
It's a good rant though, because we're having a good conversation. We're getting some points across right now.
So that if you're looking for the article, it's on TCG Player, go look it up. It's a good read, and unfortunately, it kind of raises your hopes a little bit, and I can't help but think that they might be crushed.
No, the top comment on that article is just like, I really hope Wizards of the Coast is reading this article. That's like the top comment.
Yep. So anyways, that's it for episode something, something.
105.
105 of If Lands Could Kill. Most of our information is in the show notes right below the episode. You will see all of our Twitter information, Twitch, some random dude fucking...
Come look at my lawn.
Some random dude from San Diego, like, added me on Twitch, and I, like, looked him up on Twitter, and I was like, how the fuck do you know... I don't know, it was just weird. Because it's like, okay, nobody follows me just on Twitch. And he didn't follow me anywhere else, so I was like, okay, that's weird. You need to... I blocked him. I fucking blocked him, dude. Fuck that guy. Fuck that, yeah.
Yeah, he sent me a picture of, like, me walking into my house, and he's like, I know where you live. And he's like, what the fuck? I've seen your hairy ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And
hey, is this you driving? Cool, man. Followed you home.
Did you really vlog him?
No, I didn't.
I've been hilarious.
I didn't. But anyways, it's my goal within these next couple weeks to get a deck tech for Frontier up. So That is my commitment. Not this next week, but
for
hopefully
YouTube?
For YouTube, yes, to get it up there, and because we haven't had any YouTube content in a while, and that's like the least you know we could do is do some simple deck techs. So, anyways, that's going to be my mission this next week. So look out for that. And yeah, I guess that's it. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow,
and this is Hot Sauce,
and we'll check you guys episode 106. Because this is 105.
Okay.
That comes right after 104.
Which you got to get that out, by the way.
Which I got to get that out, by the way. Naughty, naughty boy.
We're talking about, like, Modern Masters and then we already have it. Crap.